back in open session for your patience.
Capital A. R.
All right.
It's on your computer.
Mr. President, if I may, can you just make sure that the state is on the line? I know you were gone for a little while, just make sure you saw.
Seamus, are you on the line?
The live but barely, thank you.
All right. Thank you for your patience and waiting for us. So, today, as we have these people here before us, requesting a motion that essentially we reopen this case and that if you would like to re-argue your practice, you know. Okay. So, the history of this case is that a notice of complaint was sent out to the manager. The manager had opportunity to respond to that with her facts and to show up at a board meeting to express herself, to defend herself, to hopefully vindicate herself from the situation. Did not respond in her own defense. Then we have a hearing, which also then is an opportunity which the manager can then defend themselves and provide their evidence to their side of the story and to potentially be vindicated. And then we also have a request for a rehearing. And at that point, nobody showed up. So that was her opportunity to, again, provide evidence on her own behalf to protect herself and potentially vindicate herself from the situation. So this board has gone through a process of a series of meetings to provide the respondent here time to present her case. So in a 5-minute summary, tell me what is it that would compel this board to want to reopen this case?
Yeah, I think that, you know, if we're going to talk about the merits of the arguments here, we're talking about issues that were back in summer of 2021. So this is a long time ago. The nursing facility has 4 air conditioning units. It was the front one at the front door that was not working.
Can you change your summary instead of going into the facts and the details of the actual case? Why is it that the board would feel compelled to open this up?
This has been the worst year of my client's life. I mean, by far. This has been absolutely devastating for her family. And she has, unfortunately, you know, had to make the decision to prioritize what has been going on at home. Her husband has been sick for a while, and he's in an 40-week intensive care treatment with chemotherapy. And they are seeing results that, you know, they pray for. So I think that she fully understands, and I'm more than happy to let her speak as well, that the missed opportunities were the result of a terrible situation for her professionally and something that she never wanted to see happen. And so now she's here with counsel to put everything, you know, back in order, to put her ducks in a row, and to really ask the board for an opportunity to go back a few steps and put her life in the spot it was in a few months ago.
And in terms of addressing, you mentioned there was 2 meetings where my client would have had an attempt to present some evidence or facts or context, and those were not attended. There was no representation on the first hearing. In April 2021, my client did receive a letter from DHS, which I believe is Exhibit B to our written submission. I think you guys have had a chance to review that, where there was 4 allegations and 4, quote, were unable to be substantiated and no deficiencies were cited. So receiving that, my client had a misunderstanding, but a justified one as to thinking this matter was closed. As for the rehearing, we were told, and that's Sarah and I, the counsel, were told that we were not required to attend that rehearing. We thought that was a procedural thing where the board just got together, looked at the stuff and said, does this merit a rehearing? We didn't understand, or maybe it wasn't properly translated, that didn't mean that my client didn't need to be there, just she didn't need counsel there. So we advised our client not to attend because we were told we didn't need to be there. So we thought that was the entity itself, not just the attorneys themselves. Clearly, there's a strong desire to remedy this situation. We've submitted a substantive written submission outlining the substantive things and then the procedural things we're happy to address like we have just now. So as you know, ACR 433-106D has seven variables that entitle a rehearing. We think we qualify for 1, 3, 5, 6, and 7 of those seven. So 5 out of the 7 apply to my client, and all we're looking for is an opportunity to present her position and let the board decide, giving my client the full opportunity to defend herself and vindicate her position.
Okay, all right, thank you. Okay, board questions? Guys?
What are the 5 points that you believe make this a rehearing?
Sure.
Possible.
I don't have them memorized, but I have them pulled up. So D1 is an irregularity in the proceedings of the board. That's what I just, of the board, or any abuse of discretion that deprives moving party of a fair hearing. That's that second rehearing where we were told we didn't need to attend. We thought that was, again, consistent with our client, not just the attorneys themselves. Accident or surprise, similar, we just talked about, but also the unfortunate issues with her husband and having very important, serious medical obligations right around the time of these hearings. 5, excessive or insufficient penalty. The penalty imposed here is full revocation of the license. We think that's extremely excessive considering the issues here were a complaint that an air conditioner wasn't working. Again, there are 4 air conditioners. The only one that was out was in the front where no patients ever were affected by it. They still moved patients further back to accommodate for that, and this whole thing was fixed over a year and a half ago. So revoking a license for a complaint that was registered, deemed by DHS to be unsubstantiated and otherwise fixed over a year ago seems excessive. Errors in the admission or rejection of evidence, again, we just feel we haven't had the opportunity to present all of this. We did, again, submit a written submission, but we haven't had a chance to address the board substantively and in full like we are sort of getting to do now. And then the findings are not justified by the evidence or contrary to law, which is, again, why we filed the appeal itself with the Superior Court. We spoke with Seamus, who agreed to allow us this audience now because we think it's in the best interest of the state and my client, both resources and time, to expedite this through the board rather than go through the Superior Court system, which is a waste of resources all around.
Thank you. Seamus.
Yes, sir.
Your thoughts, having been the person in charge of guiding through this case, they've provided their response of why they think that we should be compelled to reopen this case and rehear it. What are your thoughts about, their response back to the board here today?
Absolutely. Thank you, board president and members of the board. The state doesn't necessarily have a position. As you can see, I did not file a dueling motion. During our discussions, a lot of the discussion was, my client really just needs to get before the board and have the opportunity to talk with them. And if the board decides that that's the route they want to go, then that would be understandable. It's always poignant that, the board can move much quicker with less resources than the Superior Court can. From the state standpoint, I would just say if you truly believe that this is a revocation case, aside from the procedural issues, or that maybe this individual is, unregulatable, I'm not sure. But if you believe that, then you probably want to move forward. However, it's the state's position that it's up to the board, and as long as the board thinks it out thoroughly, I don't have an argument either way.
Okay. So, in your response back of why you think the board should reopen this, the board has given at least 3 different opportunities for her to present her case. That opportunity was not utilized. So if this is something that is granted, how do we know that this isn't just going to continue to be a circular loop of her not responding to the board? What she's tacitly, what she's demonstrating to the board is that she's not governable by this board. So what would compel us to want to reopen this is she going to be, what kind of commitment are we going to get from our manager here that if we do decide to reopen this and rehear, that she and or you are going to be present, are going to present your facts as you know them. And then second of all, in response to your comment about it being, excessive punishment, is had she shown up at the first meeting and presented her case and said that only one air conditioner was down and it was another patient care area, there may have been a totally different outcome. So we could have avoided this altogether. So now it's already escalated up to this. We already have a judgment that got more progressively higher because of lack of response by the manager. So why should we even do this? What kind of assurance do we have that there's going to be follow through this time?
Absolutely. And that's a fair question. I think first and foremost, as Seamus can attest to, I hope, as soon as we got involved, we've been on top of every deadline, every submission. We've been reaching out to him, again, trying to figure out the smartest and fastest way to get this done. And so simply having legal aid and someone else taking care of this matter for her, for my client, is going to assure that we are there, besides the ethical obligation that we have not to miss hearings and not to do anything to jeopardize our client's case. That's a second pair of eyes on everything. Again, additionally, there wasn't willful neglect and willful refusal to cooperate with the board or with responding. There are very legitimate and justifiable reasons for the facts that hearings were missed or hearings were not attended. None of them were malicious, none of them were purposeful. It was misunderstandings and miscommunications. So again, I can't speak specifically for my client, but I'm sure she'll be happy to respond to your question as well as to what she can and will do or is doing now to ensure going forward with this. But from our side, I mean, we're here, we're not going anywhere, so we'll certainly be here.
Good. Thank you. Ms. Eswishaji, you've been listening to what we've been discussing, and my initial impression is because of your lack of responding to this board and being here to defend yourself, that it appears that you might not be governable. So what assurance do we have if we do decide to reopen that you're going to be here and that you're going to abide with whatever decision the board comes to regarding your case?
Thank you for giving me the chance to talk. I've been here before when the air conditioner had problem, and I explained everything regarding to that air conditioning. But unfortunately, the sequence one, as he said, I didn't know that I'm supposed to be here to present myself. The other one that happened on February 13th, unfortunately, my husband is sick. And before that 13th, prior to the 13th, we have already started the treatment. And based on the medical advice and the medical doctors that are treating him, we need not to break that procedure of treating him. And I went as far as getting note from the doctor, which I submitted to the board, that was the reason, not that I didn't care to come before the board, but the circumstances that was beyond my control, that was the reason I couldn't do it, because I think my husband's life, because I was the only person, my kids are not here, I was the only person doing the transportation, taking care of him, and there is no way I could have it. That's why. But now, he's getting better. I thank God that he's responding to the medications. I'm just pleading to the board, anytime you want me, I will be here to present myself to the board.
Okay.
Mr. President, I do have a quick question. The one thing regarding the issue on the table is whether or not to rehear or not to argue the initial facts of the initial complaint is regarding the last hearing, and I just want to make sure I understand what the counsel is arguing. You were told that you didn't have to be here, so you chose not to come. Is that correct?
I received the email, so.
Well, I my understanding is our paralegal called to ask if that would be an internal decision of the board, the request for a rehearing, and our paralegal was the one that spoke, so her understanding was that, yes, that was a board's decision and not something that we would present at.
So is that standard procedure then if you're hired to represent someone that you don't attend a proceeding where the issue comes up? I'm just trying to connect the dots between
right.
What you think one applies in this situation, because it sounds like a choice of counsel, not
no.
a problem with our process.
So again, our paralegal called regarding the hearing, trying to figure out who was supposed to attend, what we were supposed to present. This is a new matter for, yeah, exactly. And so our paralegal was told that this was, again, I wasn't on the line, but what our takeaway was, this was an internal hearing. There was no need to attend because there will be no evidence. There will be no statements taken from you. So your presence is essentially, you guys are in executive session. We'd just be sitting outside waiting. And so knowing that and knowing her other obligations, we weren't going to attend and charge our client coming down here to sit in a room where no one's going to need our input whatsoever. And obviously our client wasn't able to make it. And we reviewed the transcript of that, and we couldn't find it. We don't even know if it was discussed. Clearly it was, because there's an order, but after reviewing the transcript of that hearing, we couldn't even figure out when it was discussed and why the denial occurred.
Any other questions? All right, the board's going to deliberate on this discussion at this point. According to the board, based on our subsequent discussion here, what direction does the board feel that they want to go? Have you heard compelling evidence or conviction that you need to reopen this case?
I actually do have a question for her.
Go ahead.
Real quick.
Sure.
What are you doing now? Aside from your husband, what are you doing in business right now? No?
Right now, I still go to Country Minor for a few hours, but I work with the VA.
So somebody else is managing that building?
Because I have a designee that lives here 24/7, there are two.
Okay. Does somebody else have their manager certificate notified at that building?
It's my own. The certificate that is there is mine. It's my own certificate. But I have a designee, two of them, that live there 24/7.
What board member Archer is trying to ask you about and communicate to you is that you don't have a manager certificate with redundant. You can't practice the profession anymore. So there is no, if it's your certificate's on the wall, you can't be the manager of that location.
But we applied for, because it's due for renewal. We applied.
I'm not going to explain it anymore. That was pretty clear, right? You don't have a manager certificate right now, it's revoked.
Based on that answer, I feel comfortable that what we've discussed is that there's been ample opportunity to hear and try to outline and navigate all of this. And by that very omission right there, this is something that does not seem to choose to be regulated by us or doesn't comprehend the rules. And so I'd rather wait.
Well, as president of the board, any type of allegation like that, I would I would want to have investigated first, approve it or deny it. So I would ask you and the board not to take that in consideration with this particular decision because
okay.
I haven't investigated.
All right.
Mr. President, I still how we have it standard today. We've had it come present before us. I have not had any new evidence. So I stand firm where we stand currently.
Okay.
Okay, sorry.
Thank you. Consensus? Okay. All right. Then the board will continue to stand with the action that's been taken and will not consider reopening at this time. Appreciate you being here today.
Thank you, guys. All
right, I'm going to take just a 10-minute break. Next, we move on to review, discussion, possible action on formal administrative hearings to approach consent agreements or motion to deem allegations submitted. Seamus, are you still on the line with us, and can you hear us okay?
Yes, Board President and Board members, thank you.
All right, thank you, sir, for the delay. Okay, first case, Regimes Uzoma, complaint 2022-NCI-0073. Uzoma, are you here in attendance? Let the record reflect that Regimes Uzoma is not in attendance. All right, so we will get started here. Today is August 14th at 10:49 a.m. at the NCIA boardroom for the matter dealing with Regimes Uzoma, complaint number 2022-NCI-0073 is scheduled to be heard by the Arizona State Board of Examiners of Nursing Care Institution Administrators and Assisted Living Facility Managers. And now time to introduce the parties. First for the state.
Thank you, Board President, Board members. This is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan for the state.
Okay, very well, thank you. And Regimes Uzoma, still not present. The state filed a motion.
Mr. President, my apologies for interrupting.
Sorry.
If I may, I know that I believe that you're starting to go into a complaint and notice of hearing, the actual administrative hearing itself.
This is for the motion to be.
Oh, great. Thank you. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Just going to save you some time.
Okay. All right, the state filed a motion for the board to deem the allegations in the complaint and notice of hearing as admitted. If granted, the board will treat all allegations in the notice of the complaint of hearing as true and move directly to a determination of what discipline is appropriate in the light of the violations. The state will present a brief statement to the board about its request, and then the respondent, if in attendance, can address the board. And the respondent was noticed properly? Okay.
Yes, he was.
All right, good. All right, Seamus, for the state, if you could make your presentation.
Yes, thank you, Board President, Board members. I'll make this quick. I know my sandbag today was a couple other cases. So this case came before you after a complaint and, a compliance survey complaint investigation determined that there were 24 deficiencies in 10 different areas at the establishment that the manager, that the respondent was the manager of. This came before you in July. In August, there was a consent agreement signed. That consent agreement had terms such as investigative cost, the class, and the exam. Respondent had not completed those requirements by March 10, 2023, at which time board staff sent him a notice that he had been suspended per his consent agreement. On June 5th, a complaint notice to hearing was issued from my office. The respondent had 35 days to respond. On June 17th, the U.S. Postal Service records confirmed that the certified mail was received and signed for by by an eligible individual on June 17, 2023. There's yet to be a response. I did speak with Mr. Uzoma via email. You don't have those emails, but I could provide them if necessary. He basically, you know, admitted that he had a couple of consent agreements, felt that maybe the board was confused. I explained the nature of the situation, that this was a different consent agreement, and he responded back with, thank you, I won't be attending, I'm starting a new job. So, in light of the fact, and since response was properly noticed in the formal hearing, the state respectfully requests that the parties in jurisdiction, factual allegations, and alleged violations as stated in the complaint be deemed admitted and that the board impose discipline without holding a hearing. Thank you.
All right, very well. Thank you so much. And Mrs. Zoma, are you in attendance? We'll let the record reflect that the respondent is still not in attendance. So at this time, the board will deliberate and rule on the state's motion. We can begin with general discussion or move to two motions. The first motion will be to determine whether to grant the state's motion. And I will make a motion or move that the board grants the state motion and deem the allegations in the complaint and notice of hearing is admitted.
Second.
And Susan.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Hill.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Cook.
Aye.
Member Felix.
Aye.
Member Coford.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, very well. The board has deemed the allegations and the complaint and notice of hearing is admitted. Is there a motion to adopt the parties in jurisdiction, factual allegations, and the allegations of unprofessional conduct from the complaint and notice of hearing as findings of fact and conclusions of law? I will move that the board adopt the parties in jurisdiction, factual allegations, and the allegations of unprofessional conduct from the complaint and notice of hearing as findings of fact and conclusions of law.
Second.
Ken and Susan.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Hill.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Cook.
Aye.
Member Felix.
Aye.
Member Coford.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, very well. Final issue for determination is the appropriate discipline based on the findings of fact and conclusions of law we have adopted. We now allow the parties to briefly address the issue. First, the state and then respondent if in attendance. Does the state have a final comment? Seamus, do you have a final comment?
Sorry about that, board members. I was on mute. I do not. Thank you.
Okay, very well. Thank you. We'll now deliberate on the appropriate discipline to be imposed. The board may consider the following actions pursuant to ARS 36-446.07. I will make a motion for revocation.
Second.
Ken and Susan.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Hill.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Cook.
Aye.
Member Felix.
Aye.
Member Coford.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, very well, thank you. This concludes this proceeding. The board's decision will be reduced to a written order and served on the parties. The parties will have further appeal rights that can be explained in the board's order. And next, we move on to the page on notice of hearing on Catherine Sardella, complaint 2022 NCI 0316. Ms. Sardella, are you in attendance today? Okay, let the record reflect that Ms. Catherine Sardella is not in attendance at this meeting today. Okay, today is August 14th at 10:56 a.m. in the NCI boardroom with a matter dealing with Catherine Sardella. Complaint number 2022 NCI 0316 is scheduled to be heard by the Arizona State Board of Examiners of Nursing Care Institution Administrators and Assisted Living Facilities Managers. And the parties will identify themselves first for the state. Seamus?
Yes, Board President, this is Seamus Money. I did notice the agenda says 11. Do we want to wait a couple minutes?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Let's go back.
No, you're okay.
Thanks for reminding me. All right, then let's move on to consent agenda item section 8A. First case, Bryce Craig Campbell, complaint number 2022 NCI 0475.
Mr. Gizem, page 372 of your materials.
All right. Thanks for being here today, please. For the record, we can introduce yourself.
Yeah, Bryce Craig Campbell.
Okay.
I'm Lindsay Caruso, general counsel for Haven Health.
I'm sorry, what is your name again?
Lindsay Caruso.
Could you spell it, please?
Sure. L-I-N-D-S-A-Y. Last name F-R-A-G-O-S-O.
All right, thank you for being here today as well. All right, Phil, if you'd outline the case for us, please.
Sure, this is complaint 2022-NCI-0475. Licensee is Bryce Campbell, who is present here today as an attorney. Complainant is Shauna Lee Johnson. I do not know if she is in attendance today. And on October 21st, 2022, staff initiated this complaint investigation after receiving a complaint via the board's portal from Shauna L. Johnson, the daughter of PJ, a previous resident at Haven of Scottsdale, located in Scottsdale. Ms. Johnson's complaint allegations included, but were not limited to discoloration on the foot and toes, on the right foot of PJ, as well as PJ not being bathed, evidence of a rash on her neck, underarm, under both breasts, stomach, and between both thigh creases, as well as a pressure sore on the back. Mr. Campbell was noticed of the complaint and did provide a written response and is here today to discuss the matter with the board. Also, it is unknown what, if any, action was taken by the Department of Health Services or the Adult Protective Services, although it is believed that they were both notified of this particular complaint.
Okay. All right, Mr. Campbell. Tell us a little bit about this situation and what is it that you found in your investigation of the situation from the concern from the complainant.
Thank you for the time of coming here to meet with y'all. I understand I'm fully responsible for my license and ultimately responsible for the care and treatment of the residents in my facility. It's unfortunate this incident occurred. When I was notified of these allegations, I followed protocol. I submitted a self-report to DHS, APS, the ombudsman, and I completed a full investigation. Department of Health Services also completed a full investigation. All allegations were unsubstantiated. And through the hospital records that we pulled, we weren't able to find anything to substantiate any of the allegations that were brought forth. And speaking with my staff and the investigation there, we could not find anything of that was found with the allegations presented.
Saying that you couldn't find anything else, was there a supportive diagnosis of the resident had neuropathy?
Yes, there was definitely comorbidities. There was at first being senile degeneration of the brain, moderate protein calorie malnutrition, open wound right foot, type 2 diabetes with diabetic neuropathy, unspecified dementia, unspecified severity with other behavioral disturbances, hyperlipidemia, depressive disorder, ulcer to left buttock, stage 3 pressure ulcer, and the list goes on for comorbidities.
Okay, so did she come to you with this condition?
She was a long-term resident at the facility.
Okay, so did both DHS and APS actually visit the facility and review records?
Yes.
Review staff? Did they have opportunity to meet the resident?
No.
And they were not able to substantiate these concerns?
None of the allegations was ever substantiated. All were unsubstantiated.
All right, counsel, from your involvement and support, Mr. Campbell here, do you have anything that you'd like to address with the board?
Certainly. One thing that I will address is Mr. Campbell as an individual, as I understand this board is here for licensure, and to assess him as an administrator of the building. First and foremost, the only thing I'd like to bring to this board's attention is that this is the first time that Mr. Campbell has been before this board for any sort of complaint. Now, I understand that some of the allegations that were made by the family members are quite severe. They come off very concerning. However, Mr. Campbell did do a full investigation as he has articulated and outlined in based on what is required of him by this board and his licensure. Overall, I know Mr. Campbell for his entire duration of his administration position at Haven, specifically Haven Scottsdale. I do think Mr. Campbell has a great personality, a great heart. He cares very deeply about the residents, and he does have a good understanding of what is required of him as the administrator. I think he has shown that in this procedure by the fact that he did do the appropriate reporting. He did notify the appropriate authorities, and he did follow what is required for his license.
Mr. President, Mr. Campbell, I have a question. Thank you for being here so we can ask you these questions. In reading the board write-up, it sounds like you were asked why the family member was not immediately notified about this resident having to go to the hospital. And as I understand it, your answer was, I don't know. Can you expound on that a little bit?
That wasn't directly to me. I think that she spoke with somebody in the facility.
Okay.
Said, I don't know.
So what did happen in terms of notification to the family?
We did not notify the family immediately when we found the pressure ulcer. Mm-hmm. We did immediately treat and have care. The nurse practitioner was already in the house and started to actually treat the pressure ulcer. It was sent out to the orthopedic to see what further follow-up needed to be done. And what we've done now to prevent that in the future is we've implemented a daily clinical meeting where we're going over the last 24 to 72 hours of reporting and making sure that if there was a change of condition that the family was notified and that there's been a communication in our facility.
And whose responsibility is it to notify the family?
The nurse department.
And last question on that. What is the time frame in which we require someone to notify the family?
As soon as we find it, within the next 24 hours.
And then regarding the rash, I believe that was one of the items in this report that there was picture evidence of the rash. Normally, what would be done in the instance where a resident has a visible rash?
We did know we had the rash. It was actually on record that we were treating the rash that was discussed.
And I'm sorry, Mr. President, last question for staff. Mr. Smith, do we have a report from DHS that they did complete investigation and it was unsubstantiated, because that's not in this report?
At the time of the writing of the report, I didn't find anything on the DHS website. It may be something that I'm looking today.
Do you have updated? You can ask, Mr. Smith.
I have no idea, number for that.
This is from 12/15 of 22. It looks like DHS went out of the facility and conducted well over a dozen complaint investigations and no deficiencies per se. It's believed that one of these complaints, according to Mr. Campbell, is the matter we're discussing.
One of the 12.
Which hasn't been over 20.
That was due to they had a stockpile of bites,
such as.
Yeah, especially with COVID, it's surveyors just couldn't even come in for a while, so there was a big backlog of complaints across both of those.
Some of those were back to 2019.
All right, other questions? Oh, it's also me that
I'm going to do a motion that we dismiss this complaint with Bryce C. Campbell, license number, or complaint number 202-NIC-0475.
Second. Okay, so Becky and Susan for dismiss.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
No.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, very well, thank you. Again, I appreciate your time here today. All right, Seamus, it's 11:08. Let's go back to the case of Catherine Sardella.
Yeah, good.
Okay. All right, time is now 11:08. Discussing case for motion to deem. Seamus has introduced himself already as representing the state. The state filed a motion for the board to deem the allegations in the complaint and notice of hearing as admitted. It granted the board to treat all allegations in the complaint and notice of hearing as true and move directly to a determination of what discipline is appropriate in light of the violations. The state will present a brief statement to the board about its request, and the respondent can address the board. Please address your remarks to the issue of whether you received the notice of complaint and hearing and why you didn't timely file an answer. And is Catherine Sardella here? Okay, let the record reflect that she is not here. At this time, the board will deliberate and rule on the state's motion. We can begin with general discussion or move to motions. First motion will be to determine whether to grant the state's motion. I will make a motion to move that the board grant the state's motion and deem the allegations in the complaint and notice of hearing as admitted.
Second.
Shannon Susan.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Hill.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Cook.
Aye.
Member Felix.
Aye.
Member Coford.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay. If the board has deemed the allegations in the complaint and notice of hearing as admitted, is there a motion to adopt the parties, the jurisdiction, factual allegations, and allegations of unprofessional conduct from complaint and notice of hearing as findings of fact and conclusions of law? I will make a motion to move that the board adopt the parties and jurisdiction, factual allegations, and the allegations of unprofessional conduct from the complaint and notice of hearing as findings of fact and conclusions of law.
Second.
Hanley Susan.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Hill.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Cook.
Aye.
Member Felix.
Aye.
Member Coford.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, very well. The final issue for determination is the appropriate discipline based on the findings of fact and conclusions of law we have adopted. We will allow the parties to briefly address the issue, first the state, then the respondent if in attendance. And Shannon, do you have a final statement for the board?
Board members, excuse me, board president, board members, I would just note that I have had a lengthy conversation with Ms. Sardella. She does not plan to go back into practice. She already gave up management of the home that she was managing. So I would just say that.
Okay. Hey, Ms. Sardella, are you in attendance? Not in attendance, so we move forward. So I make a motion. We're not deliberate on the appropriate discipline to be imposed. The board may consider the following actions pursuant to ARS 36446.07. I make a motion for revocation.
Second.
And Susan.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Hill.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Cook.
Aye.
Member Felix.
Aye.
Member Coford.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, very well, thank you. This concludes this proceeding. The board's decision will be reduced to a written order and served on the parties. The parties will have further appeal rights that will be explained in the board's order. Thank you all for attending today. Shane, thank you for your help and peace.
Thank you very much.
All right, next we move back to disciplinary consent agreements and a formal hearing. I'm just going to ask some names. Please don't come up yet. I'm just trying to get through all of the respondents that are actually here today, and those that are not here, we'll move on to those after we hear the other cases. Is Guadalupe Martinez here? Okay, Barbara Stein. Evelyn Flores. Okay, Penelope Stiff Watkins. Please come on up. It's tab number 5, claim 0036.
Starts with pages 514 of your materials.
Welcome. Appreciate you being here today.
Thank you.
For the record, would you introduce yourself, please?
Penelope Stiff Watkins.
All right, thank you. All right, Phil, when you're ready.
Sure, this is complaint 2023-NCI-0036. The licensee is Penelope Stiff Watkins, who is present here today. And on November 1st and 2nd of 2022, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Oakdale Central Chandler, located in Chandler. Compliance inspection identified 14 deficiencies in 8 different areas. 7 of the deficiencies were repeat deficiencies. Ms. Stiff Watkins was notified of the complaint, and she did provide a written response. It was noted that she left the facility on approximately September
18th. Everyone else has left the call.
She left the facility on approximately September 19th, 2022, which was 2 months prior to the compliance inspection. However, it appears that deficiencies would have occurred under the time that she was in the facility manager, particularly since it was repeat. On approximately December 16th, 2022, DHS took enforcement action. Posed a civil money penalty of $1,750 for 7 substantiated repeat violations, and Ms. Watkins is here today to discuss that with the court.
Okay, thank you, Bill. So you started there in October 21, worked through September 19th, 2022.
Actually, I was there longer than September 19th. I was over 2 buildings till the end of the year. So I was still over Central Chandler, and I was there for the survey.
Okay. So is this like different pods, separate units within a?
No, it's 2 Brookville communities. So my license was at both Central Chandler and Central Paradise Valley. I will say when the surveyor came in, she said that Central Chandler, the one that we're talking about, looked better than she had seen in the 18 years she'd been surveying. So when I received the survey back, it was a shock. I was not there for the ones that were cited, the repeat ones that we, the 7 that they were discussing. I was there first time that they were down. Or that they were cited. So, but we did get everything fixed and the plan correction was accepted. I have been in contact with Cole because I'm with the same company. Cole Williams is the EP there now, and they're continuing to do everything correctly.
How large is this facility? 133?
Yeah, there were 83 residents at the time of the survey. 64 units.
And what was your overall involvement with this facility? Were you there full time? It sounded like you were.
Yeah, I was there full time. And out there, 3 of the 5 business days till the end of the year. 2 or 3, I split my time. Some of the items that went to enforcement, I had an inexperienced nurse director, and she did not locate things, and I did not know that she did not locate things or the surveyor. I wasn't able to, we have them. They just, she just didn't look in the right place, like the flu shots and,
So were those not kept in the resident's individual record file?
It was in a computer system with the COVID vaccines and everything. They started a system. So somehow they weren't in the chart, the system that had the chart. Right.
So when you take over a facility, which I think it said October 9th, 2021, the repeat deficiencies that we see occurred on September 21, which would be difficult to get all corrected right away when you took it over, but tell me what you do when you take over a new facility and what you look at to say, what are my priorities?
Well, it depends. Back then, it's huge staffing crisis. We had some agency in the building, which I believe makes it a little more difficult to manage those people. So we worked hard on getting them up, but basically getting a report from each department and making sure that every, you know, department is doing what they should be doing. We, if they're using the systems that we have, then usually it works pretty well.
So why a year later, did we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 repeats? If you were asking staff,
the department head staff, and we have a ton of new staff, but the nursing department was a new director, a new everything. The surveyor used it as a training for my three nurses, and I just should have been involved in that instead of getting other things for the service.
So tell me about
because I had more knowledge than they did.
Tell me about your quality system, quality management system that you have that helped you track and identify, I would assume, issues of concern. Wouldn't these be issues of concern?
Yes. And so with maintenance, I checked that the fans were working, and they all were. And then when survey came in, a different section had gone down, the fans in the bathroom. So that was a different area, same problem. The initials on the care plan that were late, that was one out of 83 residents, or out of the 8 that she looked at. That's usually up to date. I sign those myself. So I have the list here. So yes, we did, in answer to your question, focus on these areas. But I just think it was a combination of my not being there, and there was a care plan that wasn't found, that was found later. So it was a perfect storm, I guess I'd say. Not providing the proof that we were caring for these folks. But as far as going into a new building, I mean, you have to get up to snuff on a lot of different areas. And when we did have turnover in at least half of the management staff, which happens when a new executive director comes in, and we got rid of all the agencies, so we had a lot of new hires also. June of 21, I believe, we had all of our employees. But we have great training programs and everything. It's just, I think I was, I had to help and everything. I don't know if I answered your question.
You did.
The five bedbound residents without the predetermination from the practitioner. So that's five, not just one.
Right.
And so what happened there? Because that's a big issue for DHS.
It is. We immediately got the signed documents from the physician that it would go to have this person, these people, in assisted living.
Were those from the initial move-in date or from the 6 month?
6 month.
So these were repeat, all five of them? Or just that those weren't done in a timely fashion within the 6 month?
Honestly, I can't say all five of them, but I'm pretty sure it just wasn't updated by the new health and wellness director. But I'd have to look up the resident for sure. I don't want to tell misinformation.
And so is there a form? Is that something that goes out?
Yeah, move in ones, it was done, and then every 6 months was the kitchen system in our system.
Okay.
How long have you been with Brookdale?
It'll be 2 years, October.
I don't know a whole lot about Brookdale other than they're a big company.
They are.
Do they help new managers and/or administrators where appropriate? Enter into new buildings that they've had for a while, and do they have kind of a protocol that they use?
Yes.
Do they send you a team of people to work with a building for a period of time to help you?
I have a mentor, yes.
Okay.
I also have a number of years' experience, not in Arizona, but the other surveys that I have had. In 20 and 21, one was citation free, and the next one was one citation. So, definitely different than this experience. And I have a number of years of experience doing this in other states.
In addition to having your nurse director on staff, even currently, do you also have consultant services?
We have district nurses also. There's levels above in regions and
well, do they come out and do they do their own, you know, in-house inspections and reviews of all your systems, documentation, and mm-hmm. so on, provide you recommendations? What kind of frequency do they come out?
At least quarterly. And then with the new health and wellness director, they're training them. Our systems are really, really good. Our quality management, yes, we meet regularly. I mean, basically every day, we need to do stuff right every day. And then survey day is different, right? But I don't like coming to enforcement. I mean, no offense, but my goal is always to prove that we're giving good care. But
Mr. President, I have a question.
Yes.
So thank you for being here. Mm-hmm. You note that you have experience out of state and that you have a good support system at Brookdale, yet there were all of these deficiencies that were substantiated. The staff recommendation, seeing as you appear to be a newer manager in Arizona, were you licensed here in 2020?
Yeah.
You know, maybe the support you're getting isn't focused on the priorities or the requirements of Arizona. The recommendation is that you redo the manager's test is
That is the recommendation before you. That's what you're being asked to do in response to these deficiencies. Is that something you think is appropriate? If not, why? What would you suggest as an alternative?
I don't believe taking the test again would make me be a better manager. I think having the right team and making sure that my team is doing the same thing, the oversight, and all of that needs to happen. And that's what I'm thinking of doing.
Why did you leave your employer with that?
At Central Chandler? I'm in Central Paradise Valley now, and it's more what I mean to independent living, assisted living, and memory care. Central Chandler is a challenging building. That's why when Surveyor walked in, I felt good about her comment about it being looking and smelling nice, because we worked really hard with housekeeping, maintenance, and everything. I think, I hate to say this in public, but I think because the Surveyor walked in when my nurse director was getting written up, and she went directly out to the Surveyor, I think that there were some deliberate attempts to not have a good Survey. But I can't blame her. I'm still the assistant living manager, and it is on me that we have these. But I will take the test again if that's what you want me to do.
I do have a question real quick, just because I know another hot topic is soiled linens not in closed containers. How is that deficiency? How did that come about? Or what was seen specifically?
I believe the lid was off of, there is a large soil linen area and it didn't have a lid. You had to take the lid off. So I believe that was it, and it was in a different area than the first citation was. I believe.
A different area in the building?
Yeah.
But the same citation. Mm-hmm. So the big rolly thing didn't have the lid on top. Or wasn't closed. Was the lid present?
Mm-hmm.
It just wasn't closed. Mm-hmm. Were they like putting stuff in it?
I
throw it in.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I mean, just to be curious. Yeah. It was there.
How that got cited. Okay.
All right. Another question? I can bring that motion.
I interestingly don't think that you're taking the process.
The reason I recommended that is there was a high number of deficiencies in so many areas that we need, and the response didn't provide that really give me the information I needed to allow me to really make any other recommendation. So now that she's here, she's been able to clarify things. I'm sure we'll be able to find whatever recommendation she has.
I would like to service plans. Environmental standard and food service.
How about coming to another meeting or two to observe? I think we learned a lot here.
Mr. President, does any of that training cover the ensuring that the facility can serve their non-ambulatory residents? Is that part of the service plan violation?
That would have to be covered by a service plan if that's determined.
That specific documentation is probably more in residency agreement portion, I guess.
Well, and it wasn't from
they were already there.
But they were already there and they had to have the follow-up.
Condition.
Well,
they needed to update the service plan. So that's a change of condition.
Right.
Yeah. So it's residents age and their conditions change. It's really important to make sure that being responsible.
All right, based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 44611, R4 33407A and B1 for unprofessional conduct and complaint number 2023-0036 involving manager Penelope Stickwith Watkins, and the board offer a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days or the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions: suspension of the certificate, but stay the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met; probation with all terms to be met within 3 months; reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $524.82; 3 hours of continuing education with executive director's pre-approval required and documented completion in each of the following areas: service plans, environmental standards, and food service. Any costs of the probation are those of the certificate holder.
And these credit hours are not applicable to the renewal. They still have it.
Yes. Jack, what's the verbiage I need to use on that?
Continuing education hours are in addition to that normally required.
Okay.
For renewal of the certificate.
And I'll amend my motion to include that. Do we have a second?
Second.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
So, yeah.
Can I ask something? The letter for this went to my name at an address that's not mine.
That's something that you can chat with staff about to make sure we have the right address of record and email address and all that kind of stuff. Maybe you can update it.
Executive Director Comper. The situation was the complaint was originally on someone else, and when it got switched to manager Watkins Stiff, that address wasn't updated, but it is correct in the system now. We addressed it.
Thank you for that.
Appreciate you being here today.
Okay, so I got a question.
So we're going to get through our agenda. Can we have this discussion?
Yeah.
And I will explain everything about the consent agreement. What's going on.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, just.
Okay. Ask another name. Is Jeanette Porat here?
What are you doing here?
Okay, not here. How about Rosanna Barreto?
You might want to just update him.
Come on up.
You don't necessarily need to do it there. Okay.
Thank you for being here. And for the record, would you introduce yourself, please?
Rosanna.
Okay, this is complaint 2023-NCI-0075. Licensee is Rosanna Barreto, present here today. And on approximately November 14th, 2020, UDHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at New Beginnings in Phoenix, LLC, located in Goodyear. Compliance inspection identified 9 deficiencies in 7 different areas. Ms. Barreto was noticed of the complaint. She did provide her written response. And on approximately January 23rd, 2023, DHS took enforcement action, imposed a civil money penalty of $1,000 for 2 substantiated violations. And Ms. Barreto is here today to discuss the compliance inspection.
How long have you worked at this facility?
I got my license in July 2020, but I didn't have close to 2 years, 2 years and a half.
Okay.
So you're the owner-operator of the facility?
Yes, sir.
And when did you become the owner?
From day one.
Day one. Okay.
And I think that the issue that brought you here today was the fingerprint clearance issue. Looks like one volunteer didn't have a fingerprint card, and was it the same volunteer that did not have a personal record?
He's not really a volunteer, he was just visiting. But we did get a fingerprint clearance.
Is this somebody that comes in on a visits on a regular basis? Tell me a little more about this person.
Yes. He comes on a regular basis, looks at the place, visits.
So he interacts with the residents?
No. No. No, he doesn't do any patient care. No. Just maybe visits me, helps me with some maintenance issues, like putting on, setting up a TV set in a particular room, changing light bulbs, changing air filters. He helps me do that.
So he's kind of a volunteer maintenance person.
Yeah.
Friend. Whatever.
Yeah.
And so the rules do say he has to be fingerprinted. And that's been done now?
Yes, ma'am.
What else do you have in his file?
Personal record, like an employment application. Verification. Just like a regular caregiver or a manager would fill out upon employment.
Does he get a TB test?
Yes.
TB clearance?
Yes. I have the bio at home and I can do the TB test anyway.
Are you a nurse?
I mean, yes.
Okay.
At home in the maybe. Okay. I live there too.
Okay. So that got all taken care of?
Yes, ma'am. I think DHS came and she saw the fingerprint card just recently.
So have you had another survey since the survey?
Yeah.
If they were there again?
Not a survey, not a big survey, but she, I guess, looked at other stuff. There was a complaint, but...
So they were there for a complaint survey, which is...
Yes.
Okay.
And, yes, I'm sure...
I have a question that I just don't understand from the material I've been given. It's stated in the material we got that the reason for the enforcement deficiency was assistant caregiver having no file and fingerprinting card. And then it went on to say that you stated, I am no longer the manager during the time of inspection. I have notified Lorna Canole of my resignation dated May 21, 2022.
No, no,
help me understand that.
No, I was. I'm a manager at New Beginnings. That one is a different facility, Peachtree.
That's your second facility that you manage, or?
There was a second facility.
Okay.
Yeah, that was Peachtree. That I'm not.
Mr. President, when I first read this, I was under the impression she was no longer the manager there. So, knowing that Ms. Barreto is still the manager there, I guess I would just say I support the board sheet, the suggested trainings and the board sheet. Mr. Stephen, is that?
Sorry.
I guess I'm just trying to determine, I was under the impression that Ms. Barreto, that you were not at the facility anymore based on the way that quote was framed in this memo.
Which facility are you talking about?
The survey for new beginnings?
No, I've always been the manager.
Okay, so you were the manager for the November 14, 2022
yes.
report?
Yes.
And you were the manager in October when the surveyor reported on pretty important hospice directions that were not included in the residence record. So you were the manager
yes.
during both of those dates? Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, Rebecca, do you want to make the motion?
Sure, thank you, Mr. President. Based on the information contained in this report, I move that the board finds sufficient evidence of a violation VERAS 36446.07B3 and 44610, as well as AACR 4-33-407AMB1 for unprofessional conduct and complaint number 2023-NCI-0075. Involving manager Rosanna Barreto, and the board offer consent agreement to be signed within 10 days. For the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of certificate, stay suspension as long as the consent agreement terms are met. Probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months, including reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $569.70. 3 hours of continuing education with the executive directors, pre-approval required and document completion in each of the following areas. Medication management, personnel requirements, and Mr. President, if I may, service plans, given the issue with the hospice instructions that were not included or followed.
Okay.
No reviews.
Thank you. Amen.
Any cost of the probation?
And any cost of the probation are those of the licensee certificate holder. Thank you, Madam President.
Second.
Director Susan.
Member Felix.
Aye.
I'm sorry. Member Hill.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Cook.
Aye.
Member Coford.
Aye.
Member Brimhoff?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, very well. Dan, appreciate your time here today, and board staff will be getting with you to discuss the consent agreement.
So the board voted to issue a proposed consent agreement to try to give you an offer to resolve the allegations that they've just reviewed. So we will send that to you. You'll have an opportunity to look at it. You decide whether or not you want to enter into that agreement.
Oh, okay. That's not the plan of care that I submitted in February? That's
no. This is a disciplinary action against your manager certificate. So I don't have time to explain it right now, but if you will allow us to send you some documentation, when you have questions, I'm happy to answer
awesome.
That. Is that okay?
I got it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Mr. President, members of board, For these votes with the continuing education, staff is just going to assume that it's in addition to that which is normally required mm-hmm. from here on out, unless she specifies otherwise. Is that fair?
Yeah.
We're still making that transition with those recommendation sheets. Thank you.
Is that what goes out on what is mailed to the manager? That verbiage?
Yes.
So that they're aware?
Close to it, yeah.
Okay.
If there is verbiage on the consent, it's not exactly the same.
Thank you.
Ms. Barrett, are you going to take this case?
No.
Okay. All right, let's move on to see Aloysios Nayakana. Are you here? Okay. Akila Phillips. Please, come on up.
Akila D. Phillips.
All right, thanks for being here. Go, you ready?
Okay, this is complaint 2023-NCI-0077. Licensee is Akila Phillips, who's present here today. And on November 30th, 2022, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Bella Vita Residential Assisted Living LLC, located in Phoenix. The client's inspection identified 6 deficiencies in 3 different areas. Ms. Phyllis was notified of the complaint, and she did provide a written response. It was on approximately January 17, 2023, when DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of either $1,000 or $750, depending on which website you look at, for 2 substantiated violations, and Ms. Phillips is here today to discuss the matter. I'm not sure what the enforcement action was. The website said one, and the board action, the enforcement actions report says it. I'm sure Ms. Phillips knows exactly how much you have. Okay, or maybe not.
All right, how long have you been the manager here?
Since 2021.
Okay.
Wait, I'm sorry, with Bella Vita or with my license in general?
Bella Vita, the one I'm still
here. Since June of 2022.
How large is this home?
There are 2 10-bed homes.
Okay. And what was the situation when you took over this place?
It was in a bit of disarray as far as paperwork. There were documents everywhere. When I came on board, the office for the manager is at the Palmeritas home, so that's where I'm stationed 3 of the 5 days, and I go between both Palmeritas and Troya. On the day of the survey, I was at the Palmeritas house. The Palmeritas house is because that's where more of my directed hands-on care residents are, because they have Parkinson's at their home, and I also had more hospice residents at their home at the time of the survey. I was called that the surveyor was in home. I was able to go over to the Troya house, get all of everything that the surveyor asked of me. When I went back to the Palmeritas home to begin transferring the information over to Troya, I was met by 2 hospice nurses. I told them, please give me a minute. Let me get all the documentation, get it going on the computer, the printer, I'm sorry, so that the surveyor can get all the information. I told the caregivers, please be on the lookout. I'm sending everything over. I went through the files, began to send over everything that she asked for, and in the process, the printer at the Troya home ran out of ink. There was no more ink in the house, and so everything that was being submitted to the surveyor was blank.
Does the site get 2 separate surveys, or is it a continuous property with the 2 cottages or whatever on there, each 10 beds?
No, so they're 2 different homes.
And so they get surveyed completely separately?
Yes.
Okay. You manage both, though?
Yes.
So all the, if they're 2 separate entities, so the files are at one place but not at the other place?
Yes, they were kept at one home because there was locked storage at that one home. At the second home, there was no locked storage for employee files. And so when I came in, I just kept it as such for to stay in one locked location.
And have you changed that?
Absolutely, yes, ma'am.
So what is happening now?
So now every house has locked storage. So this staff information is at this home. This staff information is at this home.
And what if you have a caregiver or somebody who goes back and forth?
We've been good with staffing. I've had staffing sufficient enough. And so if I do have to do that, what I'll do is copy their file and send it over to the next house. Also for myself, if I have to be stationed at one house more than the other, I'll just make 2 duplicate files for myself so that I won't run into this process anymore. The owner also knows where all the information is.
she has the code. If ever one day a survey comes in and I'm not able to get there and the owner is elsewhere, I can give the caregiver directly where everything is so that they are able to present it in hand and I don't run out of time. I also make sure that there is sufficient enough ink in both of the houses. I learned that. That was something that was small that I didn't consciously think of.
It's hard to anticipate everything.
But now, whenever I do my ordering supplies, I order more than enough ink so that we don't have that issue ever again. Thank you.
Mr. President, Ms. Love, thank you for the covering the records. That's at your window can be a little rough on it. Busy day. Of more concern to me was that the actual record, once we were able to look at it, for two or three employees, did not include the appropriate documentation for the individual's qualifications, skills, and knowledge. Can you talk through that?
Qualifications, skills, and knowledge. Their training packet, I believe, is what you're asking about.
They train and certify as caregiver?
Yes, they are. They are. I think what you're asking me about is when they come in to do their orientation, if you will, for the 3 days, at, either myself or one of my staff members that are now trainers are with them. I think that's what you're asking me about. It was not in her records, in those two records. Yes, I do know what you're saying. At that time, I had everything stored separately. So I had it in binders. This had training packets. This binder had CPR first aid. This binder had TB. I had them in different binders. So what I learned is that I put everybody's information in one packet together so that I'm not going to three or four different folders looking for information.
So you mean that each individual employee has their own?
Yes, everything is now in that individual's employee file. When I came on, everything was separated in different folders, but during my survey, I learned instead of having it in different folders, just put everything together.
And so that won't happen again?
No.
But was their skills and knowledge and orientation done?
Yes, yeah, on everybody.
It just wasn't. It wasn't able to be shown to the survey.
At that time because of the ink issue. Those but yes, it's, everything is there.
And the surveyor wouldn't come over to the other house?
No, he doesn't.
Who's responsible for doing the employee documentation? Is that
I am, yeah.
Well, I don't think she's got a good plan in place now.
I think this was a great learning experience, maybe for all of us.
How about a letter of concern? Okay. I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation in complaint number 2023-0077 against manager Sheila Phillips. But issue a letter of concern. The board's concern is the manager failed to properly maintain adequate personnel required for our records. Second.
Second.
Becky.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Recused.
And Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, very well. Appreciate your time here today.
Thanks.
Hey, Sarah, Bosanji. That is tab number 10. Hi, welcome.
Thank you.
For the record, if you could introduce yourself, please.
Sarah Wilson.
Thank you for being here. Yep.
Okay, this is complaint 2023-NCI-0100. Licensee is Sarah Bosanke, who is present here today. On October 21st, 2022, DHS conducted an assisted liquor facility compliance inspection at White Pilot, located in Phoenix. Compliance inspection identified 21 deficiencies in 9 different areas. One of the deficiencies was a repeat deficiency. Ms. Bosanke was noticed of the complaint and she did provide board with a written response. So on approximately January 13, 2023, DHS took enforcement action. He imposed a civil money penalty of $1,000 for three substantiated violations. One of those was a repeat violation. Ms. Bosanke is here today to discuss the matter with the board.
All right, so how long have you been a manager here?
From 2008.
Talk about the personnel records first. So who's responsible to do the
myself, the manager.
So this is another skills and knowledge missing. Was it completed?
Yes.
Or was filed? Or
yes, almost completed.
And so, how was it that the surveyor didn't see it?
I cannot. I was not ready to get the papers that time. They gave me 2 hours, and I was not. I messed up.
When did you become the owner and the manager?
In 2008.
Okay. And I see you've been a manager for, I think it's 27 years with no disciplinary issues before this board. And at the same time, I see that there were 21 deficiencies in 9 areas for your introductory approach to this group. What changed in 27 years to get you to have a survey like this? Something went on that has not gone on for a lot of time.
That's true. There were some things which I did not pay attention to, and they were right there under my nose, and I could not probably realize. And a lack of help, a little bit, caregiver, you know, and things that were happening and caregiver did not talk to me. I messed up and all this happened.
So you had a lot of staff turnover, is that what you said?
Yes.
So that may have been the largest thing because you relied on the staff, is that correct?
Yes, I did, yeah. And they were not communicating with me, this is wrong, this is broke, or this is, yeah. And my mistake, I did not pay more attention to it.
Do you have a quality assurance kind of program that you get personally involved and double check on these kind of things?
At that time, I messed up and I did not check. For the past 27 years before, I did. And on that period of time, I kind of messed up. I rely on the caregivers.
Well, tell us now overall, what's going to prevent anything like this from happening again? What have you done to improve your systems and yourself and make sure that everything is monitored and properly executed?
I got all the caregivers, you know, together, and I explained everything if it gets broke or something gets, you know, messed up. For example, medication has to be signed. Detergent, laundry, and all the other stuff has to be locked up. No detergent under the sinks or under the toilets, under the kitchen sink. And I made a little program, you know, everything to be done on the papers. You know, if something is broken, put on the papers and put on the desk.
How often are you at the house?
Or pretty much every day.
So you told the caregivers to solve this problem, keep it from happening again.
Correct, yes.
You took the new caregivers together and said, here's the deal, this is what I want.
Yes.
It's how it has to happen.
Yes.
How do you follow up on that?
I follow up every 2 weeks.
And what does that consist of?
What do you mean?
Well, every 2 weeks you follow up. What
I follow up, you know, to check it out to see if something is broken, the medication they're assigned, or, you know, something is not going on the way it's supposed to be going on, you know, for the resident's safety and everything else.
Okay. And how are you maintaining the employee files and renewing the employee files if your CPR, first aid, TB needs to be expired?
I do check it every 3 months just to make sure it's not going to happen again to get expired and not bring that file.
And what if you see that they're a month away from expiring, what happens?
I will do it right away. I'll check it out right away and I'll make the caring director do the CPR and everything. TB vest, fingerprint.
Okay, any more discussion? Are we okay with the recommendation?
Mr. President, if I may, just a quick comment. You've been manager for quite some time.
Yes, sir.
How many other surveys for DHS have you had where you had deficiencies? Have you ever had any? Have you appeared before this court previously?
Never. This is my first time.
So you started, you were manager since when?
2008.
But you haven't had any complaints with them before?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Actually, we're wanting some additional education, a letter of concern. But she knows what she's got to do, is how much is education going to improve this?
I think a letter. Personally, I think a letter. I think what you've described, and I think a lot of us can relate to during probably COVID and caregiver shortages and all of that. And
yes,
things get, there's a lot of other stuff to do.
All right, what's the concern?
Properly maintaining personnel requirements.
Okay.
Everything on here was service plans. Most of the stuff we saw was about the personnel.
All right, so you want to do it?
I'll do it. I move that the board find insufficient evidence of a violation and complaint number 2023 NCI. -00077 against Kapila.
No.
The next one down. My bad. 2023 NCI-0100 against Sarah Kupasanku. But issue a letter of concern, and the board's concern is properly maintaining personnel files.
Second.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Hill.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Cook.
Aye.
Member Felix.
Aye.
Member Coford.
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, very well. Appreciate your time here today. We're going to take a 10-minute break. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit for the sake of other schedules by the people.
So we get 3 breaks. Or it doesn't matter. Might already be the point.
All right, so we're going to move ahead to B12. This is under staff recommendation for non-disciplinary letter of concern. Item 12, Michelle Ortiz. All right, please introduce yourself.
Dominique Barrett, calling for Ms. Ortiz.
All right, appreciate you being here today. We have 3 cases. Let's do this one first, and then the other 2 are recommended for dismissal. Those are our 2 cases. We have 27. C-27 and C-33. So let's start with E-12, complaint number 0239.
Page 1755 for the materials.
Is complaint 2023-NCI-0239. Licensee is Michelle Ortiz. On February 23rd, 2023, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at the Phoenix Senior Living Community located in Flagstaff. Compliance inspection identified 14 deficiencies in 8 different areas. Ms. Ortiz's response was provided by attorneys from the law firm of Interiores, Prieto, Wood, and Boyer. And on April 11th, 2023, DHS took enforcement action, imposed a civil money penalty of $1,250 for 3 substantiated violations.
Okay. Ms. Barrett, if you'd like to go ahead and make your presentation. She's not here today?
No, she's not. She's actually, she's in Flagstaff, and I contacted Mr. Comfort about her appearing telephonically, but he said there was no availability to do that. So I'm here in her place.
Okay. All right.
We have obviously thoroughly responded to the complaints, and there was a plan of correction, and things were corrected. It's my understanding one of the biggest issues with respect to Ms. Ortiz was the fall prevention training schedules, and I just wanted to advise the board that essentially everyone was enrolled in the courses timely, but the problem was that there was no insurance that they were doing all their training. So now reports are run monthly in order to ensure that training is being done. And if it isn't, they're removed from schedule. So I just wanted to let the board know that there have been corrective measures to make sure that that does not happen again.
What is she doing about ensuring that fingerprint clearance cards are renewed in a timely manner and that for, all required trainings is done on a regular basis, first aid training?
Right now, all employees were advised and educated on the importance of current fingerprint cards. The administrator, business office manager will audit. They're auditing the personnel files on a monthly basis to ensure that all employee files have current fingerprint clearance cards on file.
It's a pretty large facility, isn't it? Mm-hmm. License for 92?
92 directed care beds.
All right, and do you know, is she conducting these audits on her own, or does she have support staff that are responsible?
She has support staff. I will say that my understanding, she's actually going to be leaving the facility. So this isn't going to be an issue in the future, because I think she's not going to be actively working in this role any longer. But she did designate the administrator, business office manager, or designee in those particular areas.
Okay, other questions?
Yeah, I just thought I heard you say she has support staff in response to the question, but she won't be working in this area anymore. That means another manager will be?
Correct. There's going to be another manager there.
But we'll transition somewhere. That person is in charge?
I think there is already a new manager in place. I think there's overlap.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to review a staff recommendation. Most of the other discussion.
I agree.
I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation in complaint number, oh, I questions, too small. 2023 NCI 0239 against manager Michelle Ortiz would issue a letter of concern. The board's concern is the manager failed to ensure all staff received fall prevention training as required, which led to a repeat deficiency.
Second.
And Becky, second.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
No.
I'm sorry, no?
No.
Okay. Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, there's that one. And then on the other two complaints, 2023 NCI 0089, which is tab 27, and then tab 23, which is 2023 NCI 0012. These are slated to be dismissed. Ms. Barrett, do you have any discussion that you would like to engage in on these two?
I do not have anything to add. Just would ask the board to proceed with dismissal as recommended.
Mr. President, just if you don't mind, just give me one moment. I'm trying to toggle between these complaints here to look at the
sure.
date.
The
first one starts on page number 3582. Second one, it starts on page number 3920.
Right. I was trying to see if these inspection dates, how close they were to the complaint we just considered.
It's
getting late, Mr. President. We've been here a while. But I just would like to weigh in here and say that this complaint, have a couple of situations where the personnel records aren't taken very seriously. In this case, item 27, the manager admitted she had a non-certified staffer providing caregiving. When it was brought to her attention that she shouldn't be a designated caregiver, she changed her title to assistant caregiver. And then, of course, we have another complaint coming up on number 33 that's also being recommended for dismissal, and then we just dismissed one on the letter of concern agenda. I'm concerned that we might have a manager who is struggling a little bit, and we're not requiring her to get professional development she might need. At a minimum, I feel like there needs to be a letter of concern on this file. Sorry, again, I'm trying to toggle back and forth to check out the themes here. But in my prior notes, they were employee requirements. Yeah.
again, as we discussed many times, our disciplinary action around here is primarily additional professional development to help managers be better at their jobs. And I feel that this licensee is screening for some professional development. 16 federal violations, 7 NFPA, fingerprint clearance cards, inappropriately allowing someone to be a designated caregiver. As I've said, in to facilitate some expediency here, I would be happy to make a motion for a letter of concern, but I feel very uncomfortable just letting all of these go.
Can I make a comment?
Yes.
So Ms. Ortiz became the administrator on March 1st of 2022, and the complaint with respect to the assistant caregiver was November 29th, 2022. So obviously she was still fairly new at that particular facility. The issue that came up was that the assistant caregiver had written a statement, and she signed her statement with her name caregiver. And then once there was a review of the assistant caregiver's file, it was noted that she had an incorrect caregiver designation. So if it was the assistant caregiver who would inappropriately commented and inappropriately wrote herself down as caregiver. And so once that was determined, then that's when the correction was made.
So was this audit directed by Ms. Ortiz?
Yes, what happened, yeah, she when she learned that the assistant caregiver was not a certified caregiver, she created the job description and educated all the assistant caregivers about the fact that, you know, they have limitations in terms of their duties.
So this one that was deceitful, was there a phony certificate in there, or, you know, completion or anything, do you know?
I don't know that. I don't think that Ms. Ortiz, I don't know if she knew that, obviously, because she had just been there for a few months. So it's my understanding that this particular individual was there. So when she finally went through and reviewed that particular caregiver or that particular individual's file and saw that the assistant caregiver had a signed job description of caregiver, not specifying that she was not certified, then that's when the correction was made. And it also, she also was collaborating, took the next step to collaborate with the caregiving school and had been certified the caregivers upon hire.
Did she audit the other records? I'm sure like she hadn't looked at the employee records and
I can't tell you the answer to that. I don't know.
Well, I think she already has a letter of concern for one, and I think the other three, I think that Ms. Orsted, from all that she had to do for stepping into that facility, she did, I mean, a really hard job in a very short time.
Mr. President, to Member Brumhall's point, I thought we just dismissed that letter of concern, didn't we?
That we issued. Yeah, we issued. It was issued in a specific area. So your point is that these other two complaints brought up two other areas that weren't in the first one. The second case looks like the justification for the dismissal that starts on page 3920. The justification for the dismissal from the investigator is that the records that were being reviewed, the majority of those were from 2020 and 2021. And she wasn't the manager there at that time. That was kind of the justification.
Right.
The other one, the first one that starts in 3582.
I'm good, Director. Thank you for Ms. Brumhall for clarifying. I think I misunderstood the motion.
Okay, then I'm going to do a motion that we dismiss both of these complaints. 2023 NIC 0089 and what is that?
Number
33. So 2023 NIC 1112.
Second.
Thank you, Susan.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Hill.
Aye.
Member Cook.
Aye.
Member Felix.
Aye.
And Member Coford.
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, very well. All right, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks.
All right, and then C30, Margarita Ritter-Maurer.
It's actually item number 31. We don't necessarily need to address the board unless the board asks the same question.
Who did? Oh, shoot, Archer was there.
I do not, Mr. President.
All right, so I'll make a motion to dismiss.
Second.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Campbell. Absent. Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Hill.
Aye.
Member Cook.
Aye.
Member Felix.
Aye.
Member Coford.
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right. Thank you very much.
That was Alberta.
Yeah. All right, back to recommendation for disciplinary consent agreements. Let's go down the list some more here. Sharon Besson. Maria Scarberry. Dufina Lamba, Russell Sylvester.
Here.
Okay, that is tab number 14, A14. I'm memorizing something.
Page 1035.
No, we're you're Russell.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Russell Sylvester. Yes. 14, 939.
Sorry, thank you. Sorry.
All right, thank you for being here. Please, for the record, introduce yourself.
Russell Sylvester.
Hi, Phil.
It's 2023-NCI-0111. Licensee is Russell Sylvester, who is present here today. On August 30th, 2022 through September 1st, 2022, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Mountain View Retirement Village located in Tucson. Upon his inspection, I identified 8 deficiencies in 5 different areas. Mr. Sylvester was noticed of the complaint, and he did provide the board his written response. And on approximately January 13th, 2023, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,500 for 3 substantiated violations. Mr. Sylvester is here today to discuss the compliance inspection and report.
Alright, how long have you been the manager of this home?
I was the manager there from June of 22 to December 6th of 22. So at that time I was running Sherwood Village Assisted Living, which I still am the manager of that facility, and then I won the license at Mountain View because there was a need there and the manager had left. So I won the license during that time.
About 7 months?
Yes.
And where did you identify when you first started there as the manager?
Oh, Lord. So the reason I agreed to hang my license at 2 good facilities, because Sherwood's 160 and this was 99, with a large independent living, was they had a pretty strong core group of managers there. So I felt comfortable with a maintenance director of 8 years. The BLM had been there 12 years. There's just a lot of seniority there. But when I got there, it kind of seemed to all kind of fall apart. So the maintenance director, for personal reasons, kind of up and left, never really given us or myself, you know, a tour of where he was keeping things at. And then the dietary director left, his lawyer on vacation, never returned. and took a lot of his crew with him as well. I ended up having to let go of the wellness director for inappropriate relations with staff members. So in my first 6 days, pretty much lost the whole team. So from there, I pretty much became a server for a while. There's a large independent living population there as well, too. It's 117. So the first couple months, it was just surviving it. It was literally me and the BLM stuck it out. We rehired a new dietary director, hired a new maintenance director, hired a new wellness director, got a lot more support from the caregiving staff. I felt like they had a pretty heavy workload at that time, so just kind of concentrating on rebuilding the system and rebuilding the team there. So Sherwood was in pretty good condition at that time, so I was able to concentrate a lot at Mount View at that particular moment. So.
How long before the survey took place?
It was September, so like 3 months. A little under 3 months.
And you're still the manager at the other location?
At Sherwood, yeah. And then we still support one another. We're part of the same overall company. So Claire Verona took over Mount View December 6th of 22. And we still offer support to one another. So we did, once we got the team established there, we put a lot of things in place to kind of, you know, help us with auditing, and I think initially a lot of the audits they did at Mountain View were paper audits, so it required a lot of you going through employee files and all that. We were able to get everything uploaded into Workday and do electronic audits, so I'm the first of every month we're able to run an audit electronically and see whose licenses are due for that month, and then we attack it that way. We also, what I did at Sherwood, we kind of duplicated at Mountain View. It was just really hard for a BOM, not been a BOM, to be the BOM in HR in a large community. It's kind of hard when you're kind of in charge of the resident files, employee files, and all the interviewing and all that. So we split that into two. So the BOM can concentrate more on the financial piece of it, when we hired a staffing coordinator that took over all the interview process. And then there's initial hire, so they'll do like the staff going out, does all the reference checks, make sure all the licensing are in place, and does all the pre-hire stuff. And now it goes to the BOM for a double check, which she will review the file, make sure that everything is in place, that the staffing coordinator didn't miss. And then it goes to the final check process to the EDU, and it becomes like a triple check hiring process now. So the staffing coordinator originates it, the BLM signs off it, and the EDU verifies it.
And how do you do it on an annual basis for
staffing? So it's done, so all the licensing stuff is done on a monthly basis. So on the first of every month, the reason they put it into the Workday system was so on the first they can run a report for every license that's due for that month. So they'll be able to see CPR, and all that stuff that expires in that month. So that's done on a monthly basis. And then,
so what if an employee doesn't get a CPR by the 15th and it runs the 1st? The Workday runs an audit that on the 15th, someone's CPR is going to expire. Now what do you do?
It runs it for the entire month. So it identifies, if I ran it August 1st, it'll identify every license that expires in the whole month of August. So it'll cover August 1 to August 31st, so it'll cover the entire month. So if somebody's CPR expires on August 15th, it'll show on that licensing report. It'll say, hey, so-and-so's CPR expires on August 15th, and then we know to make sure that person gets a CPR. The other thing we also did, too, was we're kind of sharing this person right now. So the wellness director at Sherwood Village, we sent to school. So she's now CPR and first aid certified as well, too. So not having to rely on, like, Desert CPR or other companies that come out for us, we now have an internal person that is certified CPR first aid. So we do monthly trainings as well, too. So we get both communities together. We do one mass training for whoever's doing that month. And then we also do the same thing with fingerprint. Although you didn't need a license to do fingerprint, we sent the staffing coordinator at Sherwood, which supports Mountain View as well too, and their staff coordinator is working on it. But we sent them to school to the park to do the fingerprint, because what we found too, we would do the application, pay for it online, pay $67, get it done, and then send them off to the electronic fingerprint, and a lot of them won't go do it. Because it was like we were using the one down by U of A down in Tucson. So what we did was we sent our staffing coordinator to school to do like the manual fingerprint. So now when you get hired at the facilities, they'll manually roll your fingerprints for you instead of waiting, you know, sending the employee out. So then we get the application paper online, and then we actually mail out the fingerprint cards now. So we don't have to, we're not, because what happens, we get busy, we forget to follow up that they did the electronic portion of it, so now we just eliminated that in the process, and we do it ourselves as well, in-house.
Okay. Letter of concern or dismissal?
Based on, I move that the board find insufficient evidence of a violation and dismiss complaint number, where'd you go? 2023 NCI 0111 against Russell Sylvester.
I second.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, good. Thank you guys very much. All right, appreciate your time. All right, there's Teresita Mathis here. Carmen Suki. Marie E. Okay. So then let's take, let's see here. Let's go back to tab number 6. Dinesh Corrus. Yeah, I can understand this person's certificate was expired.
Are you
you're still on A6? I already did. Guadalupe Martinez, Barbara Stein, and Ron Flores.
This was present.
Number 6. Number 6. So 586. Well, Phil, go ahead and lay out the case and we can discuss when you're ready.
Okay, 2023-NCI-0071. Licensee is Dinesh S. Korat, who is not present here today. And on November 29, 2023, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Rivers Edge Assisted Living located in Yuma. Compliance inspection identified 11 deficiencies in 7 different areas. Mr. Korat was notified of the complaint. He did provide a written response and stated that the facility was closed on February 10, 2023. DHS took enforcement action on January 13, 2023. They took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,250 for 4 substantial repeat violations. It's noted that Mr. Kratz, assistant living facility manager certificate, expired on June 30, 2023. He is not renewed.
All right, so Jack, your certificate is expired. What's the best preferred way if this person ever comes back to apply for another application to deal with it, to still offer a consent agreement or to close without prejudice or dismiss without prejudice?
Mr. President, members of the board, a couple things have happened here. We received that complaint before the manager's certificate expired. It goes into a statutory status called administrative suspension because we've opened that complaint. So we do not lose jurisdiction. You have all the same remedies on the table for this set of facts that you have in the other case. On the practical side of it, if you can dismiss it, without prejudice. So these allegations could be brought up in the future if he ever reapplied for a certificate, that sort of thing. Or you can go through the process of reviewing it. If you sign off a consent agreement, offer it. But you have all the same jurisdiction you would have with any other case, even though that manager certificate has expired. Alternatively, you can dismiss without prejudice if you don't want staff to spend any time on it, and bring it back up if he ever reapplies. Is that the discretion of the board?
The recommendation is voluntary surrender of certificate, but it's expired. So
it's actually administratively suspended. It's still on the books. You could still revoke that through a hearing if you wanted to. That's the discretionary part of this, whether or not you want to spend staff time doing it. We don't know if he's ever going to come back.
Well, the difference would be, if I understand correctly, if we do nothing, I mean, if we dismiss this individual can come back tomorrow and do a new application, and
there's no way.
And then they would have to answer that. Or, versus if we do a revocation, we have to wait a year. Either way, we can impose a time.
My suggestion would be to treat this the same way we would treat any other cases coming down the pipe. If you feel that these facts and allegations support a revocation of license, I think you should continue down that path. A revocation, if proven, and the board votes on it, a revocation is much more poignant for him in the future, whether it's this industry or a different industry, because then we're protecting consumers not only in the state, but we get reported to the National Practitioner Data Bank and could follow him around through any licensed career. So again, it's at the discretion of the board. If you're going to ask me, I'm going to tell you, treat this one the same way we would treat any other of the ones. License is still revocable, still on the books. But you will have a hearing in the future if there's no appearance and he doesn't respond to the surrender. Who knows? Maybe I'll just sign the surrender and we'll be done with it. That's my best response.
All right, let's do this as a voluntary surrender, and if we sign it, then we're done. If they don't, then it's going to have to go forward to a formal hearing, and then we can deal with it then. All right, based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 44611, R433407A, and B1 for unprofessional conduct and complaint number 2023-NCI-0071 involving manager Dinesh Karat, and the board offer consent agreements to be signed within 10 days, or the matter will be forwarded to the formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following condition: voluntary surrender of certificate.
Second.
Tim and Susan.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Hill.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Cook.
Aye.
Member Felix.
Aye.
Member Coford.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, then we'll go to tab number A16. Carmen Kuchin.
H1057.
It's complaint 2023-NCI-0157. The licensee is Carmen Sushiu, who is not present here today. On August 22, 2022, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Harvey Park Assisted Living Home, located in Surprise. The compliance inspection identified 14 deficiencies in 8 different areas. One of the deficiencies was a repeat deficiency. Carmen Sushiu was noticed as a complaint, but did not provided a written response. On approximately October 5th, 2022, DHS took enforcement action. when they imposed a civil money penalty of $1,750 for substantiated violations. One of those violations was repeat deficiency. It is noted that Carmen's manager certificate expired on June 30th, 2023. Recommendation by board staff was a consent agreement, which included reimbursement of investigative costs and 6 hours of continuing education in various areas. It is not recommended for revocation.
So
it's not recommended that the certificate be revoked. Just bring up the case.
Regular education. And would you have the recommendation?
Yeah, just based on the deficiencies.
Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 44611, R433407A and B1 for unprofessional conduct and complaint number 2023-0157 involving manager Carmen Suchu, and the board offer consent agreement to be signed within 10 days or the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of the certificate, well, it's already expired, but so go put that element in there.
Yes, but
suspension of certificate, but stay the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation, 3 months, reimbursement of investigative costs in an amount of $524.82. 3 hours of continuing education with the executive director's pre-approval required and documented completion in each of the following areas: medication management, emergency disaster preparedness, resident rights. Any costs of the probation are those of the certificate holder.
Second.
And Susan.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Hill.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Cook.
Aye.
Member Felix.
Aye.
Member Coford.
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right. Next we move on to, let's see. Let's take the rest of this A section, numbers 2, 3, 4, 8, 11, 12, 13, 15, 17. As a block vote, I'll vote to approve staff recommendation.
Second.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Hill.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Cook.
Aye.
Member Felix.
Aye.
Member Coford.
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, let's move on to B. We have several people that are here. Sharon Powell.
NCI-0576, licensee Sharon Powell, who is present here today. And on September 13, 2022, DHS conducted two assisted living facility complaint investigations at North Scottsdale Assisted Living, located in Scottsdale. Complaint investigations identified 4 deficiencies in 3 different areas. Ms. Powell was a notice of the complaint, response was not provided. On approximately November 16, 2022, DHS took enforcement action and posted a civil money penalty of $500. Staff does not believe sufficient evidence existed to support an allegation of unprofessional conduct, but there was a concern that one resident's medical record did not contain a written service. and Ms. Powell is here today to discuss the case.
All right, so let's talk about the one that went to enforcement, the service plan. What happened with that?
Very honestly, I was not on my A game. I have a daughter that is actively passing away. So I've not been on my A game. I have spent hours and hours down there going through everyone's files, the residents, the employees, making sure that everything was where it needed to be, and if there was an employee that had something that wasn't, that had expired, they were taken off the schedule. I've made sure that all the residents' files are intact, and we have signatures from the doctors and family members.
So this one that was missing, was it a follow-up service plan?
I believe so.
So it just wasn't renewed in time or reviewed in time? Have there been any significant change in the person's condition?
No.
Basically the same service plan.
Did Ms. Powell notify us when she started hanging her manager's license? I'm trying to figure out what the confusion was between Mr. Call and Ms. Howell.
Oh, that was probably from DHS. Mm-hmm.
Okay, but we have a record that she said Mr. Call. Okay, thank you, Mr. President.
It's not always accurate.
So. Yeah, okay, thank you.
I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation of complaint number 220576 against manager Sharon Powell, but issue a letter of concern. The board's concern is one resident's medical records do not contain a written service plan.
Second.
And Becky.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, very well. Appreciate you being here. And we'll go on to number two next.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. All right, next we'll move on to tab two. Rajkumar Bhakti. And welcome. Good to have you today. So when you last saw me here, I didn't have gray hair, right?
Wow.
All right. Well, again, for the record, would you state your name, please?
Rush from our door.
All right. Very well. All right. Bill, when you're ready.
What case is this, Mr.
This is
1157. Yep.
Complaint 2023-NCI-0044. Licensee is Rajkumar Walker, who's present here today. October 4th, 2022, DHS conducted a assisted living facility complaint investigation and compliance inspection at Susan Care Home LLC located in Surprise. The complaint investigation was unable to substantiate two of two allegations, but did cite one deficiency. Compliance inspection identifies seven deficiencies in six different areas. Mr. Tuaka was notice of the complaint, and he did provide a written response. On approximately December 6th, 2022, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $250 concerning the compliance inspection. And on that day, they also imposed a civil money penalty of $250 concerning the complaint investigation. And Mr. Tuaka is here today to discuss the complaint investigation and compliance inspection with us.
All right, let's talk first about deficiency is that one former employee did not have a personnel record. What happened there?
Well, this actually was not an employee, was just a female that does not interact with residents or anything else more but cleaning. So I didn't thought that I had to have records for cleaning. So I told her that, but she didn't, she still give me the deficiency. Though I told her that she's not an employee or as a caregiver.
Just like a contract cleaning service?
Yeah, contract cleaning service once a week. I just do some deep cleaning, the fans, you know, they accumulate dusts and the lines and stuff like that. So I usually do one of those things clean.
How far does the regulation
The fingerprinting and all that, so the newer regs say that somebody who's employed or a volunteer, so I take that to mean somebody who's regularly there, but somebody who's an outside source who's contracted to come in and perform a function, like, I don't know, repair an air conditioner or trim your trees, I don't see how that person
needs to have a different agency altogether, different
entity,
because they're not even on his payroll.
No. I mean, they're being paid separately, presuming that's the case, that they're paid separately as a contracted individual.
Right.
Separately. Or have their own company or something like that.
Yeah. Did you sign a contract with this cleaning service?
Yeah. Oh. Just come.
And then you have to get into the
or even, yeah, tonight, yeah.
99.
I don't believe it shifts that much. Surveyors are very into citing anybody they think is a volunteer.
Right.
From my personal experience.
Well, you have visiting nurses, visiting physicians. People that repair the ice machine.
So the regulation does talk about anybody who doesn't already have a regulation authority over them that would also require fingerprinting, like a nurse would. So all the hospice people, we don't necessarily have to vet. But other people who are contracted, your plumber, whatever else, how can I make them be fingerprinted?
I think the language reads regularly scheduled, and so if you have them regularly scheduled, that's what I was told.
Yeah, but you can't have your pest control people fingerprinted.
You have to show your contract with them
and that they come on a regular basis.
And right. It does fall under the provision about having a list of our people who are contracted.
Correct.
As contact for.
But if we have housekeeping contracted on a regular basis, mm-hmm. we're required to.
That's the language that was shared with me by DHS as well. So I agree
so
with
if
what
it's
you're
a regular
saying.
Scheduled person,
yeah.
Even if it's once a week, doing
so
housekeeping services, that would be required.
They're not employees of?
They're employees of a different company, but yet we're still required.
It's how you understand the language. It was shared with me similarly.
So what is it now with this cleaner?
Well, this cleaner is no more coming. I got to do it myself.
Yeah, you have to do it yourself. Do you have a fingerprinter?
Yeah.
Do you have a fingerprinter?
For that.
For yourself?
Yes, for me.
All right, I'm okay with staff recommendation on this. I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of the violation in complaint number 2023 NCI-0044 against manager Rosh Kumar Dwarka, but issue a letter of concern. The board's concern is the manager failed to ensure one resident's medications were documented as administered, which led to a repeat deficiency.
Second. President Kidder?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, very well. Appreciate you being here today. Thank you. All right, Eileen Popa. Yes. Affinity tab number 8. 1968. All right, welcome. For the record, if you could introduce yourself, please.
Lily Pope.
PNCI-00093, the licensee is Eva Popa, who's present here today. On October 25th, 2022, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Arizona's best assisted living home located in Peoria. Compliance inspection identified four deficiencies, three different areas. One of the deficiencies was a repeat deficiency. Mr. Popa was a notice of a complaint, and he did provide a written response. On approximately January 13, 2023, DHS took enforcement action, imposed a civil money penalty of $2,000 for one substantiated violation. Mr. Popa is here today to discuss the matter with the board. The staff recommendation was a letter of concern. Concern being that the manager failed to maintain accurate and complete personnel records.
All right, so with the fingerprints of these four employees, what happened with that?
Failed to renew it in time. At the time when the surveyor, the visit was, the cards were already passed to about 2 weeks.
Had they been submitted for renewal?
Completely failed to submit it. They were expiring sometimes in October. Probably by October 15, something like that. So I failed. And the visit was on the 25th or the 26th.
25th?
Yeah.
So who is responsible to track and reapply for fingerprint?
I am. And everything is done.
And what do you do now to make sure that doesn't happen again?
Marks on the calendar, notes in my files everywhere.
So you have a particular system to show when they're
well, actually, we do check with the DPS every 6 months, right? So I did check it. The last time was on June, matter of fact, I think it was on June 1st, having in mind to do the renewal. And it was not renewed.
All right, have you taken any additional training or received any additional education?
Just continuing education.
Did anything recently on personnel requirements? How many employees do you have? Including yourself. Was yours expired?
Yes. Within 30 days, all completed at the same time. And that's why they all were expired.
So they all were expiring in the same month, approximately?
Exactly. Like I said, probably mine and my mother or somebody was like within 7 to 10 days expired at the visit time. And the other two were like probably 20 to 30 days.
Are so they all family members?
Yes. We all completed and applied at the same time. And that's why they all expired at the same time.
I understand the trap of you already know that they didn't commit a crime because of your family. There still would be concern though that it wasn't done. I can see how it would be passed or
and the reason
missed.
Is because we all wanted to do it at once.
Right. Well, you would think that would make it easier to remember to always do it. Probably, but it didn't happen that time.
Could you give me some help with why the repeat efficiency in the area of services provided on a medical record?
Yes. This, I don't know how it happened, but it happened. Our resident was on hospice. And at the time of discontinuing or adding medication, it's required the doctor's signature. I called the hospice and I requested in writing with a doctor's signature. They faxed me the documentation in writing, but they failed to do the electric signature at the bottom. I received it from the hospice, not looking to see if it's the doctor's signature or not, and I just put it in a file.
So they had discontinued medication?
I think it was added one medication.
Okay.
And I requested in writing, which I received it, but I did not receive it with the doctor's signature. And I failed to just check it to see if it's the doctor's signature on it or not. And lately they don't come with a writing signature, they just come electronically signed at the bottom with just printed name. So that happened probably a few years back. The same thing happened. I received the in writing for the medication, but they failed to sign, to put the doctor's signature on the, so that's what happened. And telling the truth, I just failed to just look at that thing. So once I received it from the hospice, I thought everything is fine, right? But the signature was missing, and that's what
happened. I failed to read it. And if you get one on a third time, are we
definitely read it?
Oh, okay. And then the medication delivered in compliance with the medical order, you had an issue with that. You failed to ensure medication administered in compliance with the medication order for one of two residents sampled. What's that all about?
I think that's what we just discussed. Is that a separate thing?
No, I think that's the one. Providing the signature on the medication.
So officially did not have the written order because it wasn't signed, but was administering the medication.
So he doubled up on the deficiencies. There's two and three. Are they the same thing, just written up twice in different ways? I mean, could be.
Could be. No, two is documenting the services provided, like on ADLs.
Right. And that was the deficiency that was repeated, and then we had medication. I read that as two separate things, but I'm no expert in that, so what do I know?
No, it's the first one is about not documenting, I presume, ADLs.
Mm-hmm. Number three is about the doctor's signature.
Number three is about the medication itself. So are your caregivers adequately signing off on ADLs that they perform? Or do you know why that citation was given?
I usually do all the paperwork, but I can't remember.
Okay.
Unless I have all the documentation and the corrections at home, so I can provide it if necessary.
Well, obviously the surveyor saw something that wasn't documented and signed on the ADLs. So that would have been...
Oh, yes, it was, definitely yes, it was. Some of the, as it is in the service plan, it was not corresponding with the with our signature, for example, on the ADLs, that's correct. The issue was coming here. Yes, for a total bed. We did not complete the combing hair in the 80 hours. Yes, that's true.
So it's listed in your service plan that you're going to comb their hair?
Yes.
How many times a week? Every day?
It's done every day.
And it wasn't documented?
It's done every day, yes, definitely. But it was not marked on the ADLS, ADL's daily.
And how are you monitoring to ensure that that's done now?
Like I said, I do all the paperwork and I make sure it's there.
All right, I'll make a motion to see how it goes. I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation in complaint number 2023-0093 against manager Ely Popa, but issue a letter of concern. The board's concern is the manager failed to maintain accurate and complete personnel records.
Second.
And Susan?
President Kidder?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Steven?
No.
Member Hill?
No.
Member Brimhall?
No.
Member Cook?
No.
Member Felix?
No.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion does not pass.
Okay.
5-3.
Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board finds sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 44611, R433-407A and B1 for professional conduct and complaint number 2023 NCI 0093 involving manager Ely Popa, and the board offered a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days or the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions: suspension of the certificate, but stay the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met, probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months, reimbursement of investigative costs of $513.43, 3 hours of continuing education of the executive director's pre-approval and documented completion in each of the following areas. Personnel requirements. Any cost for probation or those of the certificate holder?
Would you be willing to add medication management to that?
And that was on the AHS. That's a paper trail. The doctor said over a valid prescription, and they didn't send a signature. But yeah, all right. Medicaid, 3 hours of medication management. You want a second?
A second.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Steven?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Nay.
Motion passes.
Mr. President, members of the board, I just want to clarify that motion and vote. Maybe I didn't hear, but is this reimbursement investigation?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Can you
what was the vote
now again?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5 to 3. Okay. All right. So the board made a motion, though, to offer you a consent agreement, which is a disciplinary action, get some continued education, reimbursement of costs. Staff will send that up.
No,
please. Give me a call. Let me ask if you have any questions. If you receive it.
Okay.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right, and I think we have one more here. Rachel Sandoval here. Okay, Madge Ball Cole. Come on up. That's going to be B10.
For the record, would you speak here?
Did you write that down?
Madge Ball Cole.
Welcome. Thank
you
for being
here. I'll
definitely do it. It's complaint 2023-NCI-0098. Licensee is Madge Ball Cole, who's present here today.
On December 8th, 2022, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Julie Frank Sacton. Assisted living apartments located in Scottsdale. Compliance inspection identified 8 deficiencies in 3 different areas. Ms. Ball Cole was notified of the complaint, as she did provide a written response. On approximately January 23rd, 2023, DHS took enforcement action, imposed a civil money penalty of $500 for 1 substantiated violation. Staff did not find sufficient evidence to support the allegation of unprofessional conduct. We did find sufficient evidence to support a letter of concern, and the concern was that the manager failed to maintain a service plan for 1 resident, and Ms. Ball Cole is here today to discuss the matter with you.
All right. Tell us about this service plan for 1 resident.
We had a couple move in. We have a very unique a buy-in situation. And we moved a couple to reunite them to our assisted living. It was primarily to support the husband who needed to be there. And of course, the wife wanted to be there, and she would benefit from the support also. And I was kind of new at being an assistant living manager, getting all my ducks in a row, admitting people, taking our census from 11 to 23 in a very short period of time, and just having come from acute care and home health and from SNF. I just was not used to assisted living, and I kind of overlooked the support solely. And she needed a service plan in ADLs as much as anybody else. They were properly admitted, but I had to work on understanding the resident agreement because of the fact that we already have an existing agreement with the families before they move up there, and I know now that doesn't matter, that you have to have all the components for every resident that lives up there. So now everything is properly documented.
Do you offer both independent living and assisted living services?
We go from independent, which I worked in most of the time I ran the home health there. Independent, you can move to our much smaller assisted living area and or go to our skilled area. And I was just making my clarification of thinking with respect to the difference.
Is this all sort of under one roof?
It's under one roof, it's one property.
So am I correct in understanding that, I guess I would refer to it as the CCRC?
Correct.
But I can be a resident in independent living, not as a license or under the CCRC. I can be there.
Not getting services.
Yeah, not getting services under that contract.
Correct.
I can still be in that building.
Correct. If you
as
need
an
service,
independent living.
As
and
an
then
independent
if I use the other things, I pay for those independently.
That's the home health portion that I ran before.
Okay.
And then when you move to assisted living, it is like every other assisted living that exists. It's a full license. Everybody that comes there must be admitted. They have to be oriented. They have to have all their services documented and reevaluated on a timely basis. So, and then the SNF is a SNF.
So this person was admitted as a spouse, but also as an actual resident?
Yes.
Assisted living services at some level, supervisory or personally or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
She was supervisory initially, and the husband was totally personal care.
Okay. I think that she's got a good plan in place. She's very clear about what the issue was.
Yeah.
I move that the board finds insufficient evidence on the violation of complaint number 2023-0098 against manager Matt Oval Cole, but issued a letter of concern. The board's concern is the manager failed to maintain a service plan for 1 resident.
Second.
Chairman Vesey.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Hill.
Aye.
Member Cook.
Aye.
Member Felix.
Aye.
Member Coford.
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right. Very well. Thank you so much for being here and for your patience today. Okay. So now I want to do a block vote for item B3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Before.
You're before you're here?
Yes.
Okay. All right, then I retract the motion. All right, now let's bring up Raphael Jeff.
Yes.
Four. Welcome.
Thank you.
And if you state your name for the record, please.
Name is Raphael Hahn.
Thank you for being here, and we'll get your case up. All right, Phil, when you're ready.
Okay, this is complaint 2023-NCI-0073. The licensee is Raphael Hahn, who's present here today. On November 9, 2022, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Emerald Springs Senior Building, located in New York. Compliance inspection identified 11 deficiencies in 5 different areas. Mr. John was notified of the complaint and provided a response. And on approximately January 13, 2023, DHS took enforcement action, imposed a civil money penalty of $750 for 3 substantiated BP violations. Mr. John is here today to discuss the matter with the court.
All right, this call is really good. The 3 repeats are all revolving around environmental standards. So talk to us about what was going on there and what are you doing today to ensure that this doesn't happen again?
So the environmental services were repeats because my home office, basically, there's balconies. It's a 2-story building with balconies. And throughout the whole building, actually. They had contracted a company to come and take care of those pretty much a year before this survey. They were done, they cleaned it, they looked great. Several months later, with the sun, it started looking terrible. So when the surveyor came in, she checked one of the balconies in the residence room. It didn't look well. There was another one in the common area as well, and that was pretty beat up. My company at that time did not want to spend more. We had 3 bids. Well, 2 of the bids were over 150. One of the bids was about 70 grand. They went with the 70 grand, and that's what we got for the balconies, and pretty much that's why the deficiencies are there. The other one, there was a carpet that was stained. Unfortunately, the lady that was living in that apartment, she has a dog, and on that particular day of the survey, the dog ate something up to the stomach. So throughout the whole day, we were kind of cleaning and surveyor went in and saw that. That's what we did there. Obviously, we got it cleaned up, and then I had it replaced with vinyl instead of carpet because of the situation with the dogs. A Yeah, so a lot of this building is over 20 years old, so a lot of work, a lot of maintenance. That's why you see a lot of the recaps as well.
Third one was the exhaust fan.
So this one actually, we have a TELS program. We entered the work order. That work order was entered in February, March of 2022. And my maintenance director signed off that it was replaced and finished. So I didn't think much of it. When the tank came around for the inspection, we went, switched on the lights and the exhaust, and it wasn't functioning. So to my knowledge, I thought it was done. When I went back, it wasn't. When the survey was over, I went with the maintenance director, checked out the exhaust fan. It turns out he didn't replace it. All he did was take it out. So I had a corrective action with him. So I did make sure that from now on, I could go and inspect all the work orders that he was working on.
So you aren't the current manager at Nasiri, however, but you are working at the facility?
I'm not the current manager, and I no longer work there.
Okay. All right, I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation of complaint number 2023 NCI-0041 against manager Raphael John, but issue a letter of concern. Board's concern is the manager failed to ensure environmental standards were maintained, which led to 3 repeat deficiencies.
Second.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Who was second?
Aye.
Becky, yeah.
Aye.
Thank you. All right, yeah, thank you. All
right.
Maintenance guy didn't have a paper for Melissa Bradshaw, make a recommendation to accept the staff recommendation for non-disciplinary letter of concern for items B3, 5, 6, 7, 9, and 11.
Second.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, thank you very much.
Since we have forum, do you want to step away?
Is this a letter of concern or no?
Yeah, so this is for staff. Right, so this is called
there are several people here that are here for the staff recommendation for dismissal, which, as you just saw us do, we did a block vote for a number of cases. There may be some that staff or board members will want to look at individually, and we will do those first. But do any of you that are here wish to speak before the board, understanding that the board's anticipating that the board's going to dismiss the case? All right, when we get to that point, I'll ask again, but just something to think about. All right, are there any cases that you guys would like to pull out?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I have a question on 6 and would also like to discuss 15. Do you need the case number?
6, 15. I have a question, too.
On the same one?
No.
C1,
4, 9, 13, and 10.
Okay, later. Yeah.
1, 4, 9,
13, and 20. They're all the same person.
So You want to pull those?
Well, I would like to get some more information, just maybe for my own information. If that person is here, I would like to have them come forward and perhaps educate me on what's going on here, because it just strikes me as unusual to get five people, five citations.
We don't know if we're going to go there yet.
Okay.
Bear with us here a second. So we do have a response during those matters. I'll wait for President Kidder to figure out which way he wants to go.
What case are you here for?
She is here for the cases that board members brought up.
Oh, you're Melinda?
Yes.
One, four, nine.
Okay, let's start with Melinda.
We have a recusal.
Okay, so this would be number one,
C1, C4, C9, C13.
I got that. Let's start somewhere.
Do you want to overview from the respondent first, Mr. President, or do you want to start?
Sure.
Great. Put you on the spot.
So this is not my first rodeo here, but I'm hoping it's my last. These were all back before I ended up doing the consent and I did my manager's test. So I just recently did that.
Well, this has been completed. Let me jump in here, if I can. Okay. There have been a total of 16 cases open on this live field based on DHS, all of the same compound that she's managed by. This campus has numerous facilities and numerous structures that she manages. She entered into a consent agreement back for three of the complaints where she agreed to take the manager, the 40-hour manager exam, pay costs and pass the exam. And she's done that. Since that's been completed, we've got these numerous other complaints from DHS which all relate to the same issues that she had in the consent agreement. On the six cases that I presented to you this month, I recommended they all be dismissed because it's nothing new that we haven't seen already as far as issues or deficiencies are concerned.
The number, your number is because of the cottages or whatever?
Yes, it's the same deficiency for each house.
And
they've all been corrected.
The houses are all under the same license? All right.
And we'll have, speaking with Ms. Leifert earlier, apparently things are calming down. DHS has been back out and they haven't cited any new or additional deficiencies since the most recent ones. Everything seems to be okay. And in the future, we will look very closely at any complaints from DHS for this.
Is that helpful?
Yeah, I guess you're running a, I think I'm understanding, a rather uniquely organized, not facility, maybe it's one facility with a bunch of buildings.
Yeah.
That's not the norm. I think I understand. I guess my concern is that with that many numbers of citations, even if they're in the same building, that residents aren't being given the respect and care that they deserve. And that you may have a unique license in a unique situation, but I'm concerned what's being done to resolve it so it doesn't occur again. Can you help me with that?
Yeah, I think Phil needs to weigh in on this. I think it's all stemming from the same survey.
Picture up, it's a big campus, so to speak. There are seven or eight different houses that residents reside in. Okay. She got jammed up earlier for care and all the other deficiencies and has been disciplined and hasn't been resolved. Since then, DHS keeps going back out to survey the other houses and takes the same basic deficiencies from the first ones that got her in trouble and just attaches them to all the buildings. So there's nothing new going on here. It's just the same problems because it's the same employees that don't work in the city of buildings. So if there's a deficiency in House A for employee A, that's going to carry on through the other seven houses. So she gets cited for the same thing over and over and over again.
So help me understand that you have six different dates, I think, that the inspections occurred on these respective homes. Yes, you have the same employees. Don't you resolve it at the first one? It doesn't happen in 2, 3, 4, and 5, or whatever it is. And why, when the state goes back out, are they finding it in the next building, the next building, the next building? I mean, don't you deal with it? If they were all the same date, people came out, no, I understand that, but I'm missing something here.
There's a lot of different dates.
Yes, we do.
But all the deficiencies are similar in nature.
The surveys were back-to-back, presumably, so the corrective action maybe didn't happen that night or the next day.
Well, April, June, October, July.
But these also predate, if I'm correct, they predate
which you had
the corrective action that we already took, the disciplinary action that we already took. All of these cases predate her going back to class and taking the class again and taking the test again, and she's never going to come back.
Well, thank you for coming each time. Every time her name's been on the agenda, she's always been present.
Yep.
Well, I'm just trying to figure it out. That's all.
It's very, very confusing. I promise. I get it. So, this was all like right when I kind of took over. So since then, we've had like stellar reviews and lots of really good changes and people hired and new agencies, new management company, just lots of different things. In
so
place.
The management
so
company has been very supportive of your
yes.
needs?
Yep, which took place after all of that happened. So.
Have you had a survey after November 22?
We just had two done, one last month and one the month before, and both were 100%.
No deficiencies?
None.
No deficiencies or anything they've called out previously? Mm-hmm.
No.
No new ones?
No new ones.
Okay.
What, the surveyor?
It's a different surveyor. I requested a new one. So.
I want to make a motion to dismiss tab number one, Melinda Liebfried, tab 1, 4, 9, 13, 20, and 36.
Second.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
And Member Felix?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right.
Thank you.
See you later.
I hope for that. Second visit.
Okay, so the next one, Rich, you got a question on number 6.
I did, Mr. President.
Oh, you did. Rebecca, okay.
Thank you. This is for staff. I was just trying to figure out why I need to do that now. I'm all over the place. There seemed to be two reasons why this complaint could have been dismissed, and I wanted to clarify them. One, it looked like DHS might still be investigating what they call deaths, and I wanted some clarification on that before we dismiss this complaint. If you look at the bottom of page 3 of 3 on this item, let's scroll in. Okay, should have been down the page number.
Page 1271.
So if you go to page 2520 for page 6 down. That's correct. At the top it says ADHS responded in an email to the board regarding the complaint. Many of the issues mentioned appear criminal and are not within our jurisdiction. So My question was, is that the reason for the dismissal, or is it because there's content in this complaint that was also contained in a prior complaint, and that one was dismissed? It was unclear what we were doing here and why.
So I'm going to back up, Mr. President, if you don't mind. The board had this in front of them 2 months ago, and the board requested that the investigator be present to answer questions. He's here. But I can try to explain this, Al, unless you want to take over. To answer your question, it's a little, and Al's going to correct me, it's a little bit of both. So these complaints are they appear to be convoluted. There are things in here that we do not have jurisdiction over as far as working without a license, any criminal violations, service calls that might have been there. And that is interlaced with, we haven't found a violation that rises to any type of non-disciplinary action in both of the matters. Al, do you have anything to add to that?
No, the only other thing is the board took a look at 22 NCI 272 back in December, and which covered all these allegations originally. And it was determined at that time that there's insufficient evidence of anything investigated by DHS, APS, and there were unsubstantiated findings by them as well.
Same allegations.
Same allegations. And she also listed a couple more dealing with criminal stuff that we don't have any jurisdiction over, neither does DHS, which they said they also did not have any jurisdiction over the criminal matters. Actually, the criminal matters were traffic violations, parking violations, clear back to 2006. Had no bearing in this case at all.
And this issue regarding deaths, if they turn out to be, if it is a valid investigation, that's not under our jurisdiction, obviously, I would say.
No,
they're criminal. Okay.
They're
thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to clarify in the record that just the way we have to report out that there's insufficient evidence to have a complaint before the public that's talking about deaths, I just wanted to clarify that we definitely were not making that determination on our own.
Mr. President, I do believe the respondent may be here. I know that she provided a response to have the board.
I did see that, Mr. Conker. I just wanted the investigator to clarify for me, and I'm fine moving forward with the staff recommendation and the rest of the board.
Executive Director Conker, she emailed early this morning and said she would not be present.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, so Rebecca, you've got a question on 15.
And on 15, yes. So this was an issue of an elopement where the resident was hurt. There was a prior elopement of the same resident, so that resident was also hurt. And in general, a resident being able to find a way out, particularly when a resident was not in memory care and had to be saved to move off the property on their own. But the month prior, we learned that this resident was not safe moving around the property on her own, and no actions were taken to keep her from doing so and to keep her safe. And as a result, she did end up spending the night, it sounds like, on her own outside of the property. Received frostbite and had to have some pretty intense medical intervention. And normally when there's a violation of this sort where residents aren't kept appropriately safe in terms of their ability to leave the property, repeat violations normally have at least a letter of concern, and I would like to see that in this instance. I think if you have a resident who is leaving the property and becoming injured as a result, there should be some new precautions put in place. And if you read this very well-written investigation, that was not done. This resident was allowed to continue to her prior behavior of moving between buildings on her own, and as a result, got lost, got frostbite, and there were some severe consequences for that resident. So I would like to see a letter of concern from this manager's file.
Which case number is that again, please?
Let's see, item 15.
Zero zero six seven.
Yes.
Thank you.
I would actually think that might rise to a level higher than a letter of concern because this is on the dismissal agenda and it doesn't sound like this manager has a chance to discuss this item. I would be comfortable with a letter of concern just so we have something in the file. Or we can table it for another meeting. Or whatever the board's pleasure.
Or what if we do a staff recommendation to discipline consent agreement and maybe we'll send her a letter so she has notification and she might appear before the court or before the hearing board here.
Madam Vice President, what are you thinking? I mean, the issue is here, and I appreciate the manager being candid and honest, but they did not change procedures for this resident after she wandered out the first time and was hurt in that incident as well, and much more so the second time.
What page is the SOD on?
It's of the SOD. The case starts on 3004.
SOD is on 3018. What's the page? No, that's the kind of correction.
You want to pull that one for discussion, Ms. President?
Yeah, I want to know a little more of the history that DHS discovered, right, of what the heck is saying is, what was the rest?
They did issue a civil penalty for the
$500.
So on November 19th, she was able to get out and sustain serious injury and hospitalization, and the date of the next elopement was December 6th, and she was out all night and suffered frostbite and the consequences of that frostbite, which I believe included.
Where did you see she was out all night?
He issued, if you go to page 3005, the first bullet point, it describes what happened that evening. And then if you go to...
Not seen for a couple hours, 500 yards.
And then you
see the frostbite and amputation possible.
Yes. And then at the bottom of that page, a surveyor reported on citation one that this resident had eloped prior and also sustained injuries that time as well.
Yeah, so did the watermark elopement risk. She had a score of 10. If you score of 10 or higher, is considered at risk for elopement. And the service plan then failed to address intervention specific to areas identified as risk for potential elopement.
It's interesting, it says that she was going to visit her husband who was in the memory care unit.
Yeah, but they had her as an assessment, they had her as a high risk for elopement. And then they didn't address it in the service plan.
Yeah, they acknowledged policies and procedures were not implemented to protect the health and safety of the residents. They just speak.
should have recommended they move to the repair.
Yeah, or at least the order over to the
other. All right.
So the letter is fair.
Or the letter. I don't think the letter is enough.
I said at least.
Procedurally, Mr. President, members of the board, to your point, it is not inappropriate for the board to offer a consent agreement at this point in their view if they choose to. You can also choose to step back and do different types of invite with a different kind of recommendation in the future if you wanted to.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to this manager. They can provide us some clarity that we're not seeing here. I'd like to defer this.
That would be
this
helpful. One. Thank you, Mr.
So defer to
Let's get a motion on the floor and vote.
So this is Lisa. Yeah, I'll make a motion to defer the Letha Garcia case 2023 NCI 0067 to a future meeting. I strongly encourage her to come to the meeting.
Second.
Okay, Susan.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Hill.
Aye.
Member Brimholm.
Aye.
Member Cook.
Aye.
Member Felix.
Aye.
Member Coford.
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right. Any questions on any more?
Do you want staff to change that recommendation to disciplinary action?
Disciplinary action, reimbursement of investigative costs, and it's 3 hours of service plans.
Thank you.
Okay, if there's no further questions, let's do this. I will make a motion for a block vote for item 2, 3, 5 and 6.
No.
8. We'll come back to it.
I think, Mr. President, 6 is the one we just voted on, wasn't it?
Or was it
14? Oh, never mind. I apologize. Sorry.
So you want me to just step out for all of these? I refuse on 2.
No. Hold on. So you're number 2. Mm-hmm. And what else?
That's it for me.
Okay. We're going to make this complicated. All right. Let's jump out. We're going to take number 2 individually. Make a motion to dismiss the case for Deborah Cox. Case 0465 and 0468.
Do
you have a second?
Second. President Kidder, or President. Okay. Member Brimholm?
Second. Here. Yeah.
Member Campbell, Member Stephen? We're voting for.
C2C.
Did you say aye?
Yep.
Okay. Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Then let's go to 7. Nathan, you gotta step out. I'll make a motion to dismiss.
Second.
Susan, second.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Hill.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Cook.
Aye.
Member Felix.
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, we're good. Maybe we can come back. And then we go to, now we go to a block vote. 3, 5, 6, 8, 10, 11, 12, 14, 16 through 19.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Hill.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Cook.
Aye.
Member Felix.
Aye.
Member Coford.
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right. If you are here for any of the items C 1 through 39, maybe they've been dealt with or deferred or dismissed. So you're free to go if you don't want to stay to the end of the meeting. Okay. Jack, do you have a long report?
No, I didn't. Long, I have 14. I have one vote that I'm going to ask for, otherwise I have full short service.
Okay.
So we go?
Yeah.
First item is online training. Are those rules became effective? We did a communication out to the industry. We've got some various questions coming in the office, but overall, I think it's up and running pretty well. The GERC, Governor's Regulatory Review Council, is going to require a 5-year rule review on Articles 6 and 7. I did ask for an extension of that, so we have towards the end of the year to get our 5-year rule review done for Article 6 and Article 7. Contract rule writers helping us with that, or to come in future meetings. Budget update, we barely made it for this fiscal year. Under budget, we started fiscal year 2025, but right now, not a huge update. We're at or under budget under the appropriation. Do you have anything to follow up with that?
No, for last fiscal year, there's one outstanding bill that our Central Services Bureau has not billed us for yet, but we do have sufficient funds to cover it. So we did stay under budget, which is huge. We worked real hard for that.
Yes.
And this upcoming fiscal year, you know, just started, but we're looking okay. So.
Segue to that, the board approved a fee increase, 20% fee increase. That notification letter has been sent off to the governor's office. I have not heard back whether or not it's been approved for rulemaking. We have to get their approval before we can start rulemaking for a fee increase. That fee increase, and here's a segue. So moving on to item D, the 2024 legislative sunset review. I've been here about 2 years. If you remember, 2 years ago in the fall, we had a set of legislative subcommittee meetings where they were trying to decide whether or not to keep this as a standalone agency, keep the agency existing. It is rolled into DHS. We ended up remaining independent. They gave us 2 years of a lease on life for the agency. Next year is going to be the end of that 2 years. We have a sunset review process to go through. The legislature has notified us of that letter. We have to respond to various sunset factors that will roll into subcommittee meetings between September and December. for the last 20 years. So those that subcommittee meeting is a joint health committee of both the Senate and the House of health committee members. They will make a recommendation to the full legislature on whether to keep us the same way we are, consolidate us, terminate the agency, that sort of thing. We're going to go through the same thing that we went through 2 years ago. I have no idea what the prevailing wind is out there in this agency, how we're doing, what's going to happen. So I'm just letting you know that that's coming up. We prepare a response. I'm working on that. I will send out a draft. This is also the opportunity for us to ask for any legislative changes, fixes in the statute, a better way to license administrators, remove regulations for licensing because we think it's too hard. This is an opportunity to ask from the legislature anything that we think we need to fix in some way. So when I send you the draft letter, I don't care what your idea is, please let me know. Because that subcommittee could make those recommendations and we could end up with a better set of statutes in the long run. And Rich, it's everything from AARP to leading age to, you know, the Arizona Medical Association. I'm going to do my best to make contact. You asked about a plan last month. I'm going to do my best to roll that out on the front end so everybody's aware of what's going on, that we're going to be in front of the legislature next year and start chatting with those stakeholders. When the subcommittee meetings start, I'm going to have to start meeting with legislators and answering the questions. So in the short term, that's the plan. We need to get the word out. I need to get myself in the front end as many of them as I can to answer the questions. Are you taking disciplinary actions? Are you not investigating cases? Are you dismissing too many? I have a feeling all that stuff's going to come up, but I don't know yet. Don't have a crystal ball. So,
if we should be contacted by legislators or contact our own legislators in our own district, just because that's what we do, do you have a cheat sheet of some bullet points that we want to mention?
Yeah.
That just to make sure, even if they aren't on a subcommittee that affects it, they know that we are working very hard to do the right things in the right way.
I do. And it's going to be this. I for some reason, my attachments aren't in the materials. I don't know what happened to that this weekend. My apologies. But my response letter to the sunset review factors is going to give you numbers of cases, numbers of disciplinary actions that we've held over the last 2 years. It's essentially a roadmap of what we've done. It is also your cheat sheet to show people that, okay, we have 2,400 or now 2,200 licensed managers. We disciplined 20% of them over the last 2 years. The number of cases that we've had on the books and back in 2021 has gone up by sixfold. Went from 400 up to 600 a year. All those things that we've been working hard at, I think we need to show and illustrate the work we've done. Whether or not the legislature, the governor's office, thinks that we're protecting the public adequately, I don't know.
Don't let the good get in the way of the perfect.
So, well, So that's kind of, I think that would be your roadmap.
Well, I think the more people that hear what's happened in the last 2 years, whether they're involved or not, and knowledgeable, I just find when I talk to legislators about, for example, nothing to do with this, the number of people that live on Social Security, they're stunned. They have no idea. They thought we were all flush.
The wave that's hitting us as far as the grain of America and our elderly families, patients, parents, has still not hit us in the forehead yet. The demographics of that whole
you know, baby boomer thing, it's going to be here in 5-10 years. So,
20 years.
So, we're, you know, and that's the kind of thing that the legislature needs to hear about. So, does anybody have any questions on any of that? I just wanted to give a brief summary of what to expect. Okay. And the last thing, budget, you know, are we right at, what, 600,000 a year?
Yeah, 604 and change.
So our appropriation for the year, the amount of money that we can spend is about $600,000 a year. I would ask for a one position with the 2025 budget request for an investigator, full-time investigator. The numbers I have run, it's about $110,000 for salary, equipment, ERE, all that kind of stuff. That is my owner request, so we would increase our budget from 600 to approximately $700,000 a year for one position. That's the budget I want to submit starting September 1st, and I would ask you to make a motion to that effect and vote on it to ask to add one FTE in the form of an investigator. And that would start on July, if approved, that would start on July 1st of
24. That's okay.
I never get that right. We start on July 1st of 2024.
So is that a motion we throw out now?
Yes. And quite honestly, that's going to be contingent upon approval of the fee increases. Because right now, I don't think we have the revenue to support that well in the future. But if we get the fee increase, we'll be good to go.
And legislators have to approve the fee increase?
The governor's office has to approve our rulemaking. So all of our fees are in rule. So I have to see, I have to get the governor's office to approve the rulemaking. Then we have to do the rulemaking before GERC to get it all approved. It is a long, drawn out process. Fees are not going to be quick. It's going to be a lot of discussion on it. So, because we're increasing the cost of goods to our licensees, fee increases, no legislator ever wants to vote for a tax increase. It's just never an easy thing. So, but we have to go through the process.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'll make a motion to approve.
Approve what?
The budget increase.
For one full-time investigator.
Can we make that with the approval of the fee increase?
We already did that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's so, already just the number, so the
both have to work
motion is correct.
Before you're gonna pull it off.
Yep.
Okay. All right, hey.
Second.
Second.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Hill.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Cook.
Aye.
Member Felix.
Aye.
Member Coford.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Can we not get contingent upon our bill coming back? It would have to be one of them.
They're stuck with us.
For $110,000.
Thank you.
Hey, Aye.
We're out of 220.